The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual host.
Annual
meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must've been following us for weeks.
Why is that?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, you can listen to the radio. It's online radio here at PFW in Progress. And we'll be here until 2 o'clock Eastern Time, taking your phone calls and emails like we do every Tuesday and Thursday during these very special off-season productions of PFW in Progress. Andy's here. Paul will be here in a second because he's lining up something later for Patriots.com. He's going to be sitting down with John Robinson, who is the Patriots' director of college scouting. A very important person this time of year.
And a person you didn't know existed.
Well,
right?
I'll tell you the story a little later about my encounter with John Robinson. It's embarrassing on my part, but, you know, we'll talk about that. But so Paul will be here as soon as he figures that out, any minute now. And we'll be talking with you about everything going on with the draft. Just 1 week now. 7 days. And it all breaks loose. We finally get some real hardcore red meat stuff going on here at Gillette Stadium.
Which is good news, bad news.
Why?
Good news is the draft is here.
Yeah.
Real stuff. We can get play. Bad news is it's the last thing on the horizon. Because once the draft ends, they talked for 3 days, so now they're taking a month off before they meet.
Why is Kevin Collins sitting next to you showing you something in his BlackBerry? And laughing. What is this, more Brooklyn Decker topless photos?
No, but those were tremendous, whoever sent those.
Yeah. What is he
this
doing?
Is more personal.
Oh, okay. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. Here's Paul. Paul is getting ready. He's got his old man sweater on today.
What makes that an old man sweater? I like those sweaters.
I don't know.
I like those three-button, whatever you call
it. It's an old sweater. I don't know if it's an old man sweater.
I thought he
sweater.
Was just going with the style, though. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I like those kind of sweaters.
A structure sweater. I mean, structure doesn't even exist anymore.
I still wear a couple.
It's an old sweater.
I still wear a couple structure sweaters.
Do you?
Yeah.
They come in the box with those shoes that you wear?
What box?
Oh, don't you get, like, a box of shoes sent to your house, like,
every once in a while?
Every few...
Yeah. But no, the structure sweaters
he goes,
I bought.
What box? Every once in a while.
Yeah, he's playing the role of Eric.
Yes.
You have to be exact or I won't answer your
question.
In
a much more friendly way.
Right. Speaking of Eric, do we know where he went on vacation?
I don't believe he went anywhere.
He's just huddled in the hills of North Providence?
North Providence.
It was a staycation?
He's working on his art.
Yes, so he's tracing something somewhere.
He's working on art? A guy named Art? Or...
You're a bad person.
That's Fred, not me. I had nothing to do with it.
All right.
Football-wise, though,
yeah.
Freddie, I saw something interesting. Our lads.
Wait a minute. Time out.
What?
I'm just actually looking at Fred, who had the audacity to criticize anybody's shirt.
What do I get going?
he has a blue shirt with like faded.
Oh, it's brown.
I mean, brown shirt with faded blue spots and stitching.
That's the look.
It's running all over the place.
No,
it may have been the look when it was new, but it looks like it's been washed about 4,111 times.
It's supposed to be faded on the seams.
Yeah, it's that's not a good look.
You don't like it?
Is it supposed to fit?
Yeah. It's also one of those extra larges that's not as big as they used to make them.
Football-wise, Freddie, yeah. You didn't tell me our lads had their mock out, full mock. You didn't know?
To be mocked.
They didn't send that right to
you? I have it in the guide.
Yeah, why didn't you bring it up?
I did. In fact, I mentioned that unless they've changed it, 17. I know they had Costanzo at 28, and at 17. Oh, 17, and then 28 they had
Wilkerson.
I said Muhammad Wilkerson.
But they have the whole thing, and I actually kind of like the draft. Costanzo, I'm fine with, I guess. Doesn't excite me, but Wilkerson's a guy that I think has huge upside.
Right.
I'd much rather see him than J.J. Watt, because I think he could be a star at that defensive end position. Then they had Justin Houston at 33, Daniel Thomas at 60.
Wow.
My running back.
Wow.
And you get an outside linebacker, pass rusher type. Then they come back with Sam Acho out of Texas, another pass rusher DN guy. Jarrell Jernigan, who's a wide receiver I think Paul likes.
Yeah, I do.
And then Mark Herzlick, a nice local story, a guy that he can play special teams for me and just be a presence.
Yeah.
Cheeky Brown, the corner out of Texas.
Oh, you got to have a guy named Cheeky.
And then I don't really know who Michael Muhammad is from Cal. But Cal produces inside linebackers, and I think that's what he is. So
not a bad draft.
The only thing about Jernigan is
heavy
that,
on defense.
Kind of a smaller guy, and I'm not sure that we need another smaller guy. But he is, I think, kind of one of those lower-level dynamic athlete types. Definitely could give you a jump in the return game.
A boost.
Stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, I think he's 5'9".
Yeah, he is.
He's a smaller guy. So I'm not sure that necessarily meshes with exactly the wide receiver the Patriots are probably looking for. But I did like him.
I just thought that was an interesting mock. You know, you get some guys at Houston. Wilkerson, Houston, Daniel Thomas. I like that little trifecta there of potential.
Love Wilkerson, love Daniel Thomas. Absolutely.
All guys that we've talked about, you know,
yeah, that's why
a
you
good
know
bit
happen.
On this
yeah,
show.
It won't happen.
So it'll never happen because it's happened a couple of times, and how many times are we going to get lucky with that?
Yeah.
Now, more importantly, well, not more importantly, but I want to give them their due, the PFWinProgress.com mock draft, the listener mock draft.
Yeah.
They completed round one. I believe they're in the midst of round two, still working on it. And I want to talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
These are Patriots fans, so I don't know if it's rigged or not rigged or how they got it to work out. But Patriots in this mock end up with Aldon Smith, the defensive end outside linebacker out of Missouri, and Muhammad Wilkerson, defensive tackle out of Temple, who we like. So I think that's interesting. And then with the first pick in the second round, Ryan Williams, running back out of Virginia Tech.
I would take that.
I don't love
him. I like
him,
Daniel Thomas better,
but
I like Ryan Williams too.
I thought the fourth pick in this draft to Cincinnati was probably the best pick that anyone took. It was A.J. Green. Of course, I made that pick for the Bengals.
Oh,
took
I part see.
Listener mock draft. But they went Newton, Darius Miller, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Nick Fairley. So general stuff. They sent Robert Quinn to Dallas at the ninth selection.
Hmm.
Quinn and where? Where and Quinn?
I'm not sure that makes... Eight. Yeah, they still have Spencer, too, don't they?
Is he a free agent?
Maybe. I don't know.
But I don't think it's a huge need for them. But Ryan Kerrigan and Bowers go there right around 10. But this one kind of goes, I would say it's a chalk type mock draft. But I would take Aldon Smith and Wilkerson as a first round. I'm intrigued by that.
Like both of those guys.
For up to the date, you can go over to pfwprogress.com and see as the ongoing second round. For the Bengals in the second round, you won't like this pick. I took Ryan Mallett.
Why? So you were just picking for the Bengals?
Yeah.
I like Ryan Mallett.
Oh, okay.
I don't love him. I think he's...
What if he didn't show up to your interview?
What do you think? We should talk about that a little bit. Do you buy any of the explanation? It sounds like awful specific. The agent really setting himself up to be completely proven
now,
to be a liar.
He had a meeting with the Panthers set up.
Yeah.
And went into town the day before and called that night or the next morning and canceled.
But he did go to some of it. and left it early and went home sick, which wasn't reported. This is why. This is one of those rare times. Right. I actually believe the agent in this one. That's why I was curious as to your thoughts, Andy.
I kind of buy it.
And if you don't buy it, then that's
fine,
too.
I kind of like Mallett, so I think he's getting railroaded a lot, so I kind
of
lean.
Well, I think that was part of it. Because of the player involved and the reputation that he has, I think people ran with it. And the agent came out, and obviously, what's the agent going to do? He's going to defend his client. That's his job. But he said he was in bed the night before. They were out to dinner, and there was another prospect there with him. I can't remember the guy's name now. It's one of the big prospects, one of the big names. I just can't remember which one. They were out together. They went out. He wasn't feeling well that night, went home. The agent claims that he was back in his hotel room by 10 o'clock because he wasn't feeling well.
Right.
The next morning, he showed up at the Panthers facility, met with one guy briefly, and then excused himself and just went back home, back to the hotel, because he was sick. Now, that's a different thing than being out the night before and blowing off your meeting the next
day.
And
that's how it first came out.
So if he, in fact, did not actually meet with anybody from the Panthers and the agent is lying, that's so easily proven.
Right.
You know, if there's got to be somebody at the hotel that, I saw Ryan Mallett stumble in at 2 o'clock.
Right.
Right.
So easily.
Especially in this day and age.
So that alibi is so easily broken.
So chances are the agent's telling the truth.
I think the agent's probably telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that's shoddy journalism right there. I mean, you know, because.
Well, no surprise there.
Because, like, for example, I saw that. I haven't seen anything since.
Right.
I didn't
see
the
follow-up. So in your mind, he's a drunk punk who doesn't care.
Right.
I thought that was interesting.
Not Faya.
And then everybody. Nope. And I thought it was funny. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Brandon Marshall, Andy and I were talking about this. Brandon Marshall, like, for whatever reason, had gone to bat for Ryan Mallett.
Right.
Said he's like the cool version of Matty Ice. You know, he can play, and he's kind of cool and hip, whereas Matty Ice is a little bit more, you
dry.
Know, nerdy.
Right.
And then, like, literally an hour later, this story comes out that he blew off a meeting with Carolina because he was drunk or whatever, and Brandon Marshall's like, no, I just went to bat for my boy. Say it ain't true. I just think it's funny that the timing of it all.
Because there are some speculation, rumors, whatever, that the Dolphins like Mallett. I know they're in a recent mock draft, they took Andy Dalton for Peter King's. Was it Peter King's mock draft?
Yes.
To him? But there's also been some speculation that they are interested, intrigued by Ryan Mallett.
Well, I mean, quarterbacks are picking up steam.
Absolutely.
Everybody's talking about a big run on quarterbacks now.
Mayock said 8 in the top 40-ish picks. Great news for the Patriots.
Yes.
Push the more players into.
That's right.
More people that take quarterbacks. They're not taking linebackers and wide receivers and running backs.
But I don't understand why. I think it's fabricated. I don't think that there's going to be this big run on quarterbacks because I don't think teams are that stupid.
There may be a run. I think it's going to be a later run. It seems like lately everybody's like, well, Dalton Locker could go 10 or 12 and Dalton could go 15.
Yeah, but I don't think in the first 40 picks.
So-and-so could go 25.
Right.
I think the run maybe at 40 or somewhere in there, people go, well, now's the time for me to get Jake Locker or somebody who's still available. But I'm not buying all these first-round picks.
I'm not either.
Because, I mean, some people believe it could go Newton, Gabbert, Locker, Dalton, and then somebody else in the first round. I'm not sure 5 quarterbacks are going in the first round.
No, I agree with you guys. I think it's a bit of a
And if they do, it's
smokescreen.
It's good for the Patriots.
It's
33rd
great.
Pick becomes the better. That 28th pick becomes better.
Because I can't imagine there's even a remote possibility that the Patriots are interested in a quarterback in the first round.
No way.
So the more those guys, like Andy said, that you can squeeze up into the top 30, 40 picks, the better it is for the Patriots.
Yep.
Gives them a player that they probably are more apt to pick.
New York Times had an article probably yesterday somebody sent. I haven't read it yet, but the title said that all eyes will be on the Patriots because they're going to be wheeling and dealing in the draft. I don't know if it was your girl that wrote it, but
Judith?
Yeah, I saw Michael Lombardi wrote something like that on NFL.com.
I mean, it's obvious. You know, you get those 3 picks in the first 33. You don't need a quarterback. Other people do.
You have the combination of the guy who likes to trade probably as much, if not more than anybody, with really some prime real estate to deal.
And even more so, you have that guy with multiple picks lower in the first round and teams higher that want quarterbacks but don't want to take them at 10, 12. So it's not just the teams trading into 28 from the 30s. It's the potential that the Redskins want a quarterback. I'm not taking a quarterback at 10.
Right.
You want this
pick. It's where they are. That's
so
the prime real estate.
Either or direction for the Patriots to be involved in these QB maybe both.
Yep.
You know, maybe they trade 28 and 17 to go up or 33 and 17 to go up And then that other pick that's left over, they trade out of it to get multiple second round picks. All of a sudden, they got the stud guy at the top of the draft. And now they're also picking a few times in the second and third round where Bill likes to pick. I mean, a lot of versatility there for Mr. Belichick as he heads into the weekend.
Sure. Now, Paul, you just came from KSP where you're setting up an exclusive for later.
Well, we're hoping to talk to Jonathan Robinson at some point this afternoon.
Does he work here?
And Fred, you'll be happy to know that he is the director of college scouting.
Well, Paul's making fun of me because...
No, actually, Andy was. I just jumped on board.
We were in San Diego last season, and we had just got to the press box. And, you know, it's a routine, so we get up, we get to my chair. I'm unloading my, you know, laptop and all that. And there's this guy sitting next to me, and usually... our CFO sits next to me on the road. So I asked, I said, are you supposed to be here? And I goes, he's like, yep. I'm like, okay, who are you? You know, and I'm giving him the, I'm grilling him. And it turns out it's Jonathan Robinson, who's our director of college scouting. And he knew me. And I'm like, geez, I'm surprised you know who I am. And, you know, I apologize. I'm like, geez, you know, I'm really sorry. I don't know who these guys are.
The more you tell me that story, the more uncomfortable I get.
Oh, I mean, and.
Did you have tone, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Chris Gasper from the Globe turns around afterwards and goes, were you just kidding with him or you were serious? I go, no. Unfortunately, I was serious. I really didn't know who he was.
Now, did he have tone back?
No.
No.
He was like, he was totally cool. Yeah.
So you were the a-hole.
Yeah.
That's. Just too perfect. But yeah, he's supposed to be at some point in this afternoon. He's going to talk to Brian Lowe for Patriots Today. And I think we will either.
Will he get to talk or does B-Lo talk?
Yeah, we'll either get that audio or we'll interview him ourselves right after that.
Okay.
And hopefully we can
good
coordinate both, depending on how it overlaps with us. But they're going to let us know when he's available. KSP is going to let us know when he comes in. So
okay. Good.
So, get your questions. Why don't you send in some questions?
Yeah.
What do you want to know? We can ask.
Do you belong here?
Yeah. Director of college scouting.
Yeah.
I mean,
other
that's
than
a
why are you sitting?
Job right now.
Yeah. Other than why you're sitting next to Fred Kirsch in the press box in San Diego. What is it that you would want to know from the director?
I was
of
surprised
scouting?
He knew who I was, but then I realized they have my picture all downstairs. Do not talk to this man.
One of those red right. circles with the red, right. You know, the red line through it.
Right. So you've got that going on, and what else?
We are in our home stretch here on the website. We're posting a lot of our notes on all the prospects. I am posting my favorites at various positions. People got a little worked up because I posted my wide receivers and didn't include Jonathan Baldwin, who I don't really care for, don't really want.
I think he'll be a fine tight end.
I'm not even sure he'll be a fine tight end. I think he might be a fine punk.
Wow.
So that's two issues. I think he's a slow-footed, bigger-bodied tight end, Aaron Hernandez, whatever you want to call him, and I'm not sure he's a hard-working, good prospect.
I think he's a little loose with the football, too, Freddie.
Okay.
Nah. He's good. He does have good hands. He's a good hands catcher. He catches the ball away from his body, but then I think he kind of leaves it out there.
But he also, on some of the deep balls, it's like he doesn't want to go up and get it. He just waits for it to come to him.
That's not good.
I don't care.
That's not what we're looking for.
You know, when Randy Moss does it, I rave about it, but...
Moss has impeccable timing.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah. When he wants to.
Yeah. When he's on.
Right.
When he's on and reading the situation properly and putting the effort in properly for the situation, he has a knack for going up and getting it, not going up and getting it, playing it perfectly.
Just incredible. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. And, you know, that phone number is going to change in the near future. Because we're going to get...
Luckily, you never learned that one, so it won't bother you.
We're getting a whole new system where we can take calls and have as many as five people on hold. So we'll have a new...
He doesn't say we can take them. We can have as many as five on hold.
Well, we can't take them all at once, you know.
Considering you make people wait at least an hour.
Sure. That's good radio.
That's good radio.
So that'll be coming. I think we're going to have it in time for the draft.
But we don't do the draft here.
No. But that's why it's important, because we're going to have that tied in upstairs, and we'll be able to take calls this year during the draft show on Thursday. Uh-oh. What?
No, I was just curious, because I wasn't here last year. How does that work? I stay down here? Somebody has
to
scream.
And then Fred yells, what the is going on down
there? Yes, somebody would be – well, you're back and forth. But I think this year, because of the calls, somebody would have to be down here.
Yeah.
You weren't here last year? That was a Tomasha outing?
Tomash experience.
I know it wasn't Tomash. It was the illustrious leader was at fault that day. He was drawing the ire of Freddie that day.
I don't think he would let Tomash do that, from what I heard. He didn't let him do too
much. He wanted to screw it up himself?
Something like that.
Do you have a new TV up there?
Because we never had any.
They got a new TV.
We never had any problems with Tomash in that room. It was only when we did the remote upstairs. And
what it is, Andy, is Doc it's just the house feed that you guys have in here. Because I can only get Fios on this little TV up here. So I need to be able to get the house so we can prevent what happened on Sunday from happening again. So I can just change the channel.
Do you notice, though, that a lot of Kevin's explanations start with, he doesn't let me.
Right.
Yeah.
His two excuses are, it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault, or he doesn't let me.
Two very valid excuses.
Yeah. From a useless person.
Here's an interesting email.
Is Dad listening today?
Usually I don't get emails right away.
He's in flight. I already told you this.
I thought this is – I have an answer to this. I don't know what you guys, if you agree with me, but Phil from Nova Scotia says, would you rather the Patriots go 0-16 or have no football at all this season? If you think –
0-16.
This season – this question is too silly even for Sports Talk Radio. Remember that Andy said it is easier to go 0-16 than 16-0.
I would rather have there be no football than have my team go 0-16.
I would too.
Oh, I'd rather go 0-16.
What?
I like football.
That's like not football.
I could still watch football. Football itself is
like
not abolished.
Football. Well, if there's no season,
I'll watch the college games. I don't want to watch.
You lose.
Let me tell you something. 1990. I didn't watch too many other games when they were going 1-15.
0-16 is a lost season. You don't want to do that.
Plus, I like football. I'll do what I did in the early 90s. Watch Bo Jackson. I'll pick another team to watch.
See, that's the difference between you and us.
No.
We're Patriots fans.
No.
You're not. You're a football fan.
The difference is.
That's fine. It's admirable.
The real reason I watched Bo is because you couldn't watch the Patriots. Bo was on. The Patriots weren't.
But it's admirable. It's not like a
I like the sport.
But it's not,
that's true. I love the sport of football. You're right.
But you're getting all defensive.
I'd watch it anywhere.
When you start talking, you're lightning.
In Alaska, Hawaii, on a mountain, the bottom of the ocean, I'd watch football. I enjoy the sport of football.
Right. And Fred and I also enjoy the sport of football, but we're more Patriots fans than you are.
I don't know if Fred really enjoys the sport of football. He enjoys Patriots.
I watch any
for now until he moves on to a different team.
I watch any NFL game that's on.
So he's more of a football fan than I am because I can't say that.
Yeah, I like football.
You know,
like on the bye week, for example, I'll watch the 1 and 4 o'clock games. I really get excited, but by the time the night game comes on, I really don't have much interest in watching that unless it's a specific matchup that you know is a really big game that I you know Baltimore, Pittsburgh, or something that has. Playoff implications for the Patriots. Maybe I'll watch the Jets game. I'll watch that.
I just think the fall would be so barren.
I mean, you put.
I mean, if the Patriots suck, at least you can watch the highlights at the end of the day, and you feel like you get a little fix of foot. I mean, if there's no football on Sunday, no pro football. That's Sunday. That's Monday. That's the week. Talk of football. I mean, we like to watch college football, but I'm not into it. You don't talk college football. You're not going to hear them talking about how Alabama's facing so-and-so this week on Sports Talk Radio.
But if my team was 0-16, I wouldn't be talking about football during the course of the
right.
week.
Right. It would be terrible.
I would completely eliminate it from my whole mind. I'm just telling you how I did the last time that we did this.
But it's different.
1-15, 0-16, no, same to me.
But it's different now because you've been good.
It would be worse
how do we
now
because
now everybody
what's
talks
wrong
about it.
Right? Why is it? There'd be a story involved or there'd be all
it,
kinds.
It would be brutal for us. Brutal.
Especially professionally.
I don't think it would be more brutal than nothing.
Professionally, it would be tough to deal with.
Yeah.
But I think it would be better to deal with that than nothing. Professionally. I agree with Andy professionally. For our job here, talking about a loss every week is better than talking about the lockout.
Wouldn't it be ironic if they were going to go 0-16, they were 0-15, and then they won the last game, so they're a team that couldn't finish the undefeated season and couldn't even finish the winless season?
That's a great question, though, from Phil in Nova Scotia, underrated. He needs to move up a little bit in the, was it Giovanni's mock draft, listener mock draft?
Why, where was he last time? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't have it all
memorized. If he's not ranked, he should move up.
Other than Mr. Pettigrew.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Scott.
Quick question before you get to that. Sorry. Just thought about it because I saw it in the ESPN studios. You're big on history and image and sports and grandeur and all that crap. What's your reaction to the Dodgers thing?
Taking
the
financial
MLB
control
having to
away
take
from
over
Frank
it.
McCourt?
Yeah. I mean, that's the Dodgers. Franchise.
It's not like the Montreal Expos.
No.
The bottom line there is careful who you marry.
Right. But I mean, what about for the sport? And I mean, that's a premier franchise.
It's awful.
Name.
But that's why I think that they're so careful. I mean, they want to protect the Dodgers. the Dodgers are more important than Frank McCourt or his wife.
Yeah. You know?
In the eyes of MLB. So,
right. And it's, yeah. I mean, it's just the fact that he supposedly had to take out a loan to make payrolls.
Yeah, it's not
and
good. And he's a local guy.
Debacle.
He's from around here.
He wanted to buy the Red Sox.
He could have got, a lot of people wanted him to win that race.
Yeah. Careful who you Red marry. Sox. That's all I can say.
Careful what's in the documents the you prenup. Sign and all that.
Now, Paul, you have a prenup, right?
Absolutely.
Prenup, he had nothing.
No, if things go bad, he gets the middle light and the big screen.
Prenup, he was living with his parents.
It guaranteed. No, I wasn't. It guarantees me a certain amount of alimony from my wife, who makes about three times the amount that I do.
Scott in Leeds writes in, over at NFL UK, we ran a 7-round post-combine community mock draft. Thought you might find it cool to check out if you just want to see the Patriots picks. I was the Patriots GM. They were as follows. Now, this is not just NFL Pats fans. This is NFL UK. So this is fans from all over the UK. And
so that's big.
The Patriots ended up with, he says at number 3. I don't know how that happened, but Robert Quinn.
Nice. They had trades.
And then at 33, Jonathan Baldwin.
So they must have traded the two first
wide receiver,
to get to...
right. At 71, they got Ahmad Black from Florida, safety. At 74, Clint Bowling, guard from Georgia.
We kind of liked him, but that's a little high.
DeMarco Murray was number 92, the running back from Oklahoma. James Brewer, tackle out of Indiana at 95. At 156, Mark Herzlich. Everybody's got him going to the Patriots. And,
he's a Patriots type guy.
Nice. And at 184, T.J. Yates, quarterback out of North Carolina.
Seems to be a little buzz on him lately.
He said, we could only trade 2011 picks and no players could be traded. I feel I got good value at all my spots as well as addressing major needs. What are your thoughts? I think that's not a bad draft.
I think that Brewer guy's a developmental guy.
What do you think of Baldwin, the wide receiver out of Pitt?
We took Baldwin?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't like him. We talked
Didn't
about
we
him
talk
being
about
a tight end type.
And maybe a dink type.
Yeah.
I don't care for him.
No. Do we talk about the schedule yet?
No, I might want to.
Yeah. I mean, that came out. I just realized it.
Kind of show you running here.
Yeah. I mean, the schedule did come out. I think, to me, you know, the lack of 1 o'clock games is notable. I think that middle stretch is notable. I think there's like 5 games in the middle there that really is crunch time.
Well, 8. It's, I mean, that middle 8 of the season. First 4, you have San Diego in there, but at least it's early when they usually suck.
And it's at home.
And it's at home. The first 4, last 4, very, very winnable games. That middle stretch of, you know, it's primetime games. It's Jets twice. It's Steelers. It's Colts. It's, there's a short week in there. It's Michael Vick to Peyton Manning. It's, there's a lot going on in that middle stretch.
The only thing I can say about the early games, though, is that game in Oakland, I'm right now, as of today, I'm putting that down as an L.
What?
It's just one of those games. We should beat them. We're a better team. But I got a feeling that we're just going to lose that game. Like the Browns game, you know?
No. I don't see. I mean, I don't see it, but
well,
I'm saying
I didn't
happen.
See us losing to the Browns either.
I did.
Know what you do a lot, Freddie?
What?
You read this stuff and this analysis, and you get yourself all whipped up. Because I've seen that a million places, and I don't think... I'm kind of like Andy. I mean, I don't think that there's any reason ever to think you're going to lose a game like that. I don't know why we just say, well, you're probably going to play one really bad game on the road,
right?
So, against a bad team, so that'll be it. Like, I don't.
But it happens so often.
Does it?
Yeah.
To the Patriots?
Yeah.
It happens really often.
I mean, you know, we have those games against teams that know us that are either dogfights or
well,
we
that's
lose.
One of them. Oakland is a team that knows us?
I think so.
Why? What do they know?
Can you name their head coach?
Oh, actually, I was thinking of Kansas City. That's another one.
All right. Now
that's another one.
You know
that's
what?
At home, though.
If you want to go Kansas City for that, Freddie, scratch everything I just said. No, Kansas City is
at home again.
That's right.
And that one, in my little analysis on the
blog.
That's
the one that should be on the road, but they switched
Drew ire from the fans because I not only picked the Chiefs to win, I have it in a 3-game losing streak. Fans didn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Kansas City, for the reasons that you're saying about them knowing us, that's valid.
I
don't see it because I think Kansas City's going to stink. I think Kansas City was a product of their schedule last year. I've maintained that.
Really?
Well, last year, I think they will be in for a rude awakening.
I still think we're going to struggle in Oakland. I do. I just have a feeling.
What's the three-game losing streak, Andy, that's around the Kansas City game?
Is it at Jets, home Kansas City, at Eagles?
Is that right?
Could be. It's right in that range. I believe that's what it is.
Yeah. But, and you have them finishing at 11-5?
Yeah, it's usually where I have them.
Yeah.
Especially at this point.
Last year you were 6-10.
Or 11-5 if you want to check the blog from last year when I posted it.
Well, you seem to post different things at different places.
At different times. I certainly changed my assessments.
You know, associated with was 6-10.
Yeah, by idiots like you and this guy.
So.
Who make crap up.
Fred, I couldn't agree with you more. I really don't see any other way to argue it.
Right.
The number most associated with Indy Hart last year was 6-10.
But otherwise, the Patriots have 4 primetime games. Is that right? Am I right there? 4?
Sort of.
Why?
Well, technically, the Miami opener is at 7 p.m., so it's not really a primetime game.
Well, it's...
Primetime starts at 8, I'm sorry.
Well...
It'll go into primetime.
Yeah, it's not a 1 or a 4 o'clock game.
Right. We have a lot of those 4 o'clock
games.
Well,
the last 3 quarters of the game will be in primetime.
Right.
Patriots are playing on Christmas Eve, 1 o'clock home game, which is, I guess, the best you could hope for there.
Yeah, that's got to stay there.
Yeah.
No flexing that.
I have seen emails from fans upset about the number of 4:15 games because, you know, they like to get here in the morning and tailgate and, you know.
And get home afterwards at a normal time. And
you know, so, you know, good deal of fans that come to the games are upset.
Because what ends up happening is you end up leaving earlier. You leave more hours before a 4 o'clock game than you would before a 1 o'clock game. So you're gone longer.
Right.
And then you end up being home much later.
Yep.
That's
Now, fans that watch on Tv could care less. I think they're happy.
But even then, I think they're upset.
And not some of our international fans who are ahead of us, so it makes them late games.
Yeah,
you know, 6 hours.
At night's not bad.
What? If it goes till 1 in the morning and you got to work the next day?
Nah, that's not too bad. What's really bad for them is when we play a night game, and then they're up at 2, 3 in the morning watching.
It's bad for everybody.
Yeah. So... otherwise, in terms of strength, and I know it's silly, but we do it every year, strength of schedule, I don't think it seems right now as hard as last year's schedule. Would you agree or no?
Yeah, you know, I would agree.
On paper.
Especially you finish with a winning streak at home. You have 2 games at home to finish,
right,
and your last 4 games seem like
pretty close
to layups.
You know, maybe the Redskins aren't as bad as they were last year. Maybe Dallas has a resurgence.
Well, Dallas will be better.
Dallas will be better.
You don't go from the Super Bowl to sucking to then staying as a sucker.
Plus the quarterback, you know, presumably will be healthy.
If he's the quarterback, unless Bennett gets his own way and they get an open competition between Kitna.
Right. They are doing right now on ESPN... plus or minus 14 wins for the Patriots next season.
Minus.
Amani says even. Amani Toomer, I assume. Ryan. Who's Ryan?
D'Amico?
With the glasses there.
I don't know.
Minus 3, he says. So he's with Andy, 11-5.
Yeah. I think I was going to go.
Is it Ryan Clark? Maybe? I don't know.
I think they're going to be 13-3 this year. 13-3. So last year I said they were going to be 12-4, I think. So I think they're going to be a game better.
I told you guys upstairs, I just think 11-5 is kind of where you start for good teams. And then if they have a really good year, you add a couple wins and you end up with 13 or 14 wins. The man is a debacle. Fred is fighting with boneless buffalo wings.
Yeah, I can't
right
wait till
now.
We get our new equipment in this buffalo sauce.
He's got sauce all over him. He dropped it in his lap, picked it up, threw it back in the thing. That caught the fork and flipped the fork into his lap.
Well, it just came flying through the air. And
what is wrong with you?
Damn it.
I knew those
good
were
thing
a bad
you
idea.
Good clothes.
When I ordered those, I knew they were a bad idea.
Well, I wanted boneless buffalo wings. And I wanted, you know, usually they come in little pieces. These are like strips.
No.
Places like that always come like
no,
that.
They're like buffalo tenders.
Yes, that's boneless buffalo wings.
Absolutely.
He's never happy.
No, because those are, I'm actually looking at them and they look fantastic. I don't know how he could be unhappy
They're
with
saucy.
That other than the fact that he.
I'll let you lick my shirt.
What are you, like the Doritos guy? Other than the fact that he spilled them all over himself.
I'm going to smell like this all day.
And look like it. It's visible as well.
All right. Let's see. What do we got here?
How'd your couch go?
Boy, they had a hell of a time getting it in.
Fred was late today because he had to wait for a delivery from
company
man, Bob's Furniture.
They tried the front door. They couldn't get down the stairs. And then I had to basically take apart all the trimming from the back door, and they finally got it in. But it was quite a...
Now, since you're a company man, Fred, and they do a lot of business with us here, did they send Bob himself to actually unload the couch?
No. No.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
How about the annoying woman?
I doubt it.
So, no, but everything's good. Got that done. So,
what did you get, a big sectional?
Not a big sectional, but a sectional, yeah.
Tiny sectional.
Well, it's not a huge, you know, some of those are like huge. You need huge rooms. Just small. But a little bit of a sectional.
Is it in
sectional.
The basement?
Not original.
Yeah, downstairs.
You get a big room there.
Yeah, but we got those pillars in the middle, so that kind of breaks up the room. You know, what happens when you get the basement? Get those
lolly columns.
What's that they call them? Lolly
columns? I believe
so. Yeah. So anyway, webradio at patriots.com. Ollie in Sydney writes in. He says, hey, fat shoulders, fat head, fat gut, and Eric. just writing to thank you guys for cheering me up this offseason after that loss to the Jets earlier this year. After it happened, I was shell-shocked for a solid week. I was just walking around with this blank expression on my face, losing my temper the slightest thing. My friends all thought I had PTSD, and in a way, I agreed with them. What is that, post-traumatic syndrome?
Stress
disorder. But ever since, I've actually been enjoying this offseason, grinning with giddy excitement every time I see a new PFW episode in my iTunes, just preparing myself for another hilarious episode. I've been listening for 3 years now, and I seriously believe that the show has never been better than it has been this offseason. Bravo. I was finding it particularly funny last episode when Fred left and Kevin was reading the emails from the booth. The abuse you guys threw at him was classic, and the way he was reading them was like a horrible comedian bombing on stage. I literally had to pause the show when Andy said to him, the only flaw with having you back there is having you back there.
Poor
it was terrible.
He's gone. He just left.
We couldn't understand the emails because of the way he read them. Like, we had no idea what they were saying. It was just words all jumbled together.
Just a few wide-out...
He conveniently left the room when you were reading his rip job.
Just a few wide-out questions before I go. A, what kind of production do you think Dion Branch has left in him?
I think if you get out of him what you got out of him this year...
That'd be great.
You'd take
right.
That.
But
42 catches and 6 touchdowns.
I don't think he's a lock for the team.
I love when Andy does that. Yes, I think he's a lock for the
team. You do? Okay.
Right now yes. They could go out and draft two wide receivers in the first three rounds, and maybe I'll change my mind. But
I think conditions on the ground may change by training.
Right now, I think he's a lock for the team.
B, what kind of production do you think Brandon Tate, Julian Edelman, and Taylor Price can contribute in the future?
Tate, not much. Edelman depends on the role. Price, I'm intrigued.
I think Edelman's time will be when Welker is no longer here. And I agree with Andy on Price. I think that there is some ability there that needs to be developed.
But you could
we
tell
knew
me,
that was going to be slow based on his college.
You could tell resume. Me next year, you know, in the next 2 years, he catches 100 passes total, like 40 and 60 or something, and I'd say, I'm not overly surprised. I kind of like it. You could also tell me that... Training camp next year, he's cut, no longer with the team, and, you know, caught 12 passes total in his career, and I wouldn't be overly surprised. He's all over the place. I kind of like his skills, but he's got to prove it on the field with some consistency.
And C, do you think the Patriots will add to their receiver arsenal before next season? And if so, who might they get through the draft or free agency?
Yes, I do think they'll add. I think they need to.
I think they'll draft somebody in the first three rounds. I don't know specifically which guy.
Leonard Hankerson.
Hankerson would be one. Torrey Smith I kind of like more than Andy, I think. I don't think you liked him as much as I did, Andy.
Yeah, for no real reason. I don't really care for him.
Terrence Tolliver, maybe a bit later, maybe fourth round for a guy like that. I think they need a guy with some size.
Yeah.
Who can play on the outside?
I can't wait, and I hope that free agency opens up, you know, sometime, you know, no later than June, because I think when that happens, it's going to be like feeding frenzy.
Yeah, we should mention in that regard, they are the ruling from the judge, Sue. What's her name?
Nelson.
Nelson is. People are expecting it any day now.
Well,
this week.
There's good news and bad news. She's going to have a ruling any time now. But the bad news is that they're not going to mediate again until May 16th, due to the judge's schedule. Not because they don't want to, but the judge, in which Florio on Pro Football Talk asked the question, why did she assign it to this guy that we knew was going to be out of commission for a month? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I got a feeling something's going to happen between now and then. I really do.
Well, there's also this report that came out yesterday that kind of changed a couple times, that there's a law firm that's had some contact with players, mid-level players, a group of maybe 70. It wasn't really clear whether the players approached them, they approached the players, but that there might be this group kind of forming that wants, quote-unquote, a seat at the table
mid-level
and a voice.
Players, yeah.
But when it was first reported, it was 70 players are ready to sign with a law firm, blah, blah, blah. Then I heard some other stuff that was more like the law firm was kind of recruiting clients.
Yeah,
like
it
was the law firm that was initiating some of this.
Yeah, it's weird. And Florio says that Vrabel might have gotten himself in some hot water with his comments, you know, because they asked Vrabel about that. And it's like, well, they already have a seat at the table. We represent them, which if you've disbanded as a union, you don't. So now the league could use that as ammunition to say that they're still operating as an
association.
But wait a minute. Isn't the we, I mean, I don't know a lot about this. Might sound very naive, but the class action suit that Vrabel is a part of, right? With Brady and everything. Isn't that we? No?
No, he specifically
that's just to get rid of the lockout.
But he specifically mentioned the executive board or committee or directors.
Yeah. Which doesn't technically exist anymore. Right?
That was a part of the NFLPA.
Right.
So okay.
I mean, the good thing about Florio in all this stuff is he is a lawyer. I mean, that's his background.
Yeah, I just think that this is one of the rare times where his allegiances are clouding his judgment, I think.
You think so?
I think he's just so much a football fan, and he just wants it to be back so badly that he's not... I don't think he's doing it as a normal balanced job that he would.
Could be.
And I don't blame him for that. I mean, he is a lawyer, so he does know about it. And he's a huge football fan.
Yep.
So if football goes away, that hurts him.
It's not good for him. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Derek from the University of Arizona is on the line. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Figured I'd try to improve my draft status. Apparently it's plummeting.
Everybody is concerned about their mock draft status here on the show.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to say, Paul, that was Ryan Clark on First Take.
It was Ryan Clark. Okay, yeah. That's odd to me that a player would be opining about teams. Like a current player.
Too, but he was doing a pretty good job. I mean, like, sitting up there and talking anyway. So, whoever's on the PFW mock, PFW in progress mock draft, the Cowboys are up. I just picked for the Titans, so just stick around. Whoever has the Cowboys, they are up right now.
Nice.
If they're listening.
In progress on PFWinProgress.com.
Absolutely. For the schedule though, I thought it was a pretty solid schedule for us. I mean, it starts out with three out of the first four on the road, which at first I hated. But now I kind of like it because it's like, you know, they get a little team building. You know, if you kind of believe in that whole theory, you know, on the road, they're all together, spend some time together instead of like if they were playing at home and they were all kind of going home at the end of the day, at least they're doing some, you know, at least they're together, you know, when they're traveling, obviously. And then they come, you know, they obviously have pretty favorable games down the stretch. I think the last four games, I thought it was a pretty good way to end the season. I think Andy might have mentioned that. But I thought overall it was a pretty good schedule considering last year was pretty tough.
Yeah, no, that middle stretch is, as I wrote on the blog, the meat of the schedule right there in the middle of the season, and that's a tough stretch. There's six playoff opponents in 8 weeks and night games and, you know, challenges at quarterback in terms of this defense having to face Michael Vick 1 week, and then the next week I got to face Peyton Manning,
which
is
a good
totally different
style
of defense. I think there are some challenges in there.
Yeah, I think I think you're right, Derek, though, about last year, the way it was set up last year. And again, we don't know who's going to end up being the good teams, and we do know that virtually every year there's a 50% turnover.
Right.
In playoff teams. Half the teams that made the playoffs last year won't.
And we now know that last year's was a cupcake schedule.
Right.
You went 14-2 and then were bounced out of the playoffs, so clearly you weren't that good, but you dominated your schedule, so it was a bad schedule.
I think it was a pretty good schedule last year. I think they played good teams that ended up going to the playoffs. And
like the Bears?
Yeah.
Like the Steelers?
Sucked.
Well, last year we all thought it would be a pretty tough schedule, and it ended up being, you know, I mean,
they did well with it.
It was still a tough schedule.
Yeah, I agree. It's just like in 07. I think 2007 schedule was as tough as they've had since I've been here.
Yep.
They went 16-0. Doesn't mean it wasn't a good schedule in retrospect.
Right.
I think they handled a very tough schedule.
What are you guys' I think you guys have mentioned it before, but just to clear things up for me and maybe someone else who's listening who's confused, what are you guys' draft show plans, like times and dates and things like that?
Go ahead, Fred.
All right.
Jeez, I wonder why they're confused, Fred.
You're telling me that I'm not consistent with how I say
throwing them under the bus.
All right. Thursday night, we're going to start live at 8 o'clock, and we're going to go for the whole first round, wherever that is. So basically 8 to 11. Could go a little longer. But so all night, Thursday night, will be live. Then on Friday, we're going to start at 6 o'clock.
We're going to look like deer in headlights while I stare at Andy.
And we're going to go for another 3 hours, 6 to 9 on Friday. Then on Saturday, the draft starts at noon, but we're going to start at 2 and go to 4. So it's all night Thursday, 6 to 9 on Friday, and 2 to 4 on Saturday.
It's all night Thursday. Up all night.
Yep.
All right, well, I was curious about that. And then the other thing I was talking about, or I wanted to talk about, was I know you guys aren't big Mark Ingram fans, but he is – apparently, he's really gaining some steam to come here, apparently, which everyone seems to be picking, you know, him to us. I mean, it was before, like a few weeks ago, you know, you saw some Mark Ingram to the Patriots, but I feel like he's been really put at that 28th spot and then what Peter King said about how, I think you guys mentioned at the other show, about how, you know, they're going to try to trade, but the value doesn't meet him. They're going to just submit the Mark Ingram card.
But that's actually, in some ways, bad for Mark Ingram because he's fallen 12 to 15 spots in the draft or whatever it is. There was a lot of talk that he was going to be a middle-of-the-first round guy to the Patriots at 17, to the Dolphins at 15, various points in there. Now you're right. It seems like
at the beginning of last season, he was a top 5, maybe top 10 pick.
Right. And now he's lucky if he stays in the first round. You know, if the Patriots are his team at 28 and they trade out of the first round, well, now what's he doing? Is it possible he doesn't even go in the first round? So his stock has plummeted league-wide, seemingly, and that has made him value, supposedly, for Bill Belichick.
And the injuries last year at the you guys had mentioned about how last season the injuries, you know, you found out about Sergio Kindle's injury later, after, you know, when the draft was occurring.
Right.
And this year, you know, and I'm pretty sure, you know, we found out about a few injuries, although I can't think of any examples, you know, before the draft that ended up, you know, those players were taken, but it was the players you didn't hear, you know, anything about injuries. All of a sudden, their draft stock's falling, and you find out, well, they have a knee. So, I mean, how much do you really read into, you know, Daquan Bowers, although I think that's a little bit more serious, or like Mark Ingram, or, you know, players like that?
Well, I mean, it's different in that these are the ones that are coming out early, you know, 10 days before the draft or whatever, and it's giving them the time to do their extra visits to places to get that final medical check. You're right. The Bowers one is tough because some reports are it's really bad that he can't make it through a rookie season.
Yeah, things like that.
Microfracture surgery will be required. May not make it through a rookie season. And then there are other reports. I know one out of Cleveland that was like he's fine. There's no issue. You know, don't worry about it. So you don't know who to believe, what to believe. Is it teams that want him to fall? Is it, you know, agents that still want him to go in the top 10?
Does Cleveland want to see if he can make sure he goes before they pick?
Right. I mean,
to leave someone that they really want.
So
who knows?
But it's just a part of the process. It's like we were talking about Ryan Mallett. You know, who do you believe there? What's the angle with different people that are reporting information or putting information out there? You know, the famous one with Dan Marino, that's the drug rumors or whatever, and then he falls to the Dolphins or what? You just never know how these things work out.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's all I had. I just wanted to, call in and ask a few questions. Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, Derek.
All right, Derek.
Tell
my friend Andy Hart on your campus that said hello.
We asked for questions to John Robinson.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get my pen.
Who are you?
Here's one, Paul, from Eleanor. And she writes in.
Eric's good friend.
What's that?
It's Eric's good friend.
Is it?
No, he fought her.
Oh, that's right. He
threatened to beat up a woman.
Another bridge he's burned.
Yes.
Eleanor writes in, can you ask John about how last year's second round came together? How afraid were the Patriots that Gronkowski wouldn't be there? And how did they assess when to take the players they selected in that round? And also, how high was Devin McCourty on their board last year?
They're very good questions. I'm not sure that they're going to answer them. And I'm not sure they want us to necessarily
and I'm not sure
delve into that.
Really good questions for John Robinson.
I agree with that as well.
He's a little bit, I mean, he's high on the ladder in one aspect, but he's lower on the ladder in another. I mean, he's that the draft day decisions are more when his work is done. The evaluation process is done. Nick, Ernie Adams, Bill Belichick are kind of deciding who we're going to take based on the Robinson scouting department.
We have breaking news for Andy Hart.
When news breaks, we break it. Patriots.com radio.
Jimmy Sanders headed to Disneyland today.
Oh, phew.
So he'll be in a happy place, Andy.
When you started off with Jimmy Sanders there, I was like, they can't possibly
trades
have done
aren't
anything.
Allowed right now. Despite the fact that Mike Reese has been trying to run him out of town for
and
a year and a half
that
now.
From Twitter?
Yeah, he says, good morning. It's about to be a long day for me on my way to Disneyland. Ha ha ha. So that's how he's spending
nice
his
family
lockout.
Man. See, that's the kind of guy you want on your team.
Okay.
None of these guys getting arrested, drinking, boozing during the lockout. He's going to Disney.
All right. Let's see. I want to get to an email here. Peter from Surrey writes in, what with the schedule coming out, I've returned to planning my first ever trip to Gillette, which sadly had to be postponed last year. The problem is I go to university on September 26th and so won't be able to travel after this. Therefore, the only home game I can make is the Chargers, which is great, no problem with that. However, what with the cost of coming over your way, I'm a bit concerned about booking the trip. Personally, I simply cannot see a scenario where football won't happen. It's in nobody's interest and would outrage a whole nation. Seems a bit unrealistic. I'd love your input here. If we're talking risks of booking it, what would you guys say is the percentage chance of football not happening and me instead spending a weekend traipsing around the hall at Patriot Place?
Don't book it.
Yeah, I really...
When is it?
The second week.
You can only go to the Chargers game. I'm hesitant to give you advice either way because, I'm with you, Peter. I can't imagine that they're going to be that stupid, but...
But there's a risk.
Yeah, there's a risk, and I don't want you to, you know, oh, well, Fred said there'd be football.
But the only way there's no...
$3,000.
Right, the only way there's no risk, you know there's going to be football at some point. So if he has to put it off another year, okay, it sucks, it's not ideal, but there's no risk in that. You know at some point you'll be able to come and get a game in because you don't want to spend $3,000 to wander around Patriot Place and the hall and all that.
Yeah, the thing is, are you making the trips just for that? If that's the only thing that you're making a trip for, then I would agree with Andy and Fred. I would wait till you know for sure. Because if you're coming here for other reasons and you're going to take in the game, then I would do it.
Right.
I would do it. But
unless you can get a refundable plane trip.
If it's going to be one of those deals where the $3,000 that you're going to lose is going to be catastrophic and you're not going to get to do anything enjoyable whatsoever, why do it?
Right.
Without the guarantee. And I will say, I agree. I think that there's going to be football in 2011. I think they'll get this straightened out, and I don't think they're going to miss any games. But I will say, I want to pass along a quick anecdote. I won't tell you exactly who it's from.
I thought you were allowed to.
No, I'm not.
Am I?
No. but I did tell Andy and Fred about this off the air. Somebody who's involved in football, he's not in the NFL, but he's involved in football, firmly believes that the lockout is going to stretch through the summer and they could miss as many as 4 games. That's his belief.
Boom.
And it's a guy who definitely walks in circles that would know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just some random schmo off the street.
Right.
So that kind of caused me to take a step back because up until that, I really didn't think there was any chance that they wouldn't play. They would miss games. I thought the lockout could go into the summer, but I didn't think they would miss games. Now I think there's a possibility.
Dwight from Alabama says, after looking at the schedule, I see the Patriots going 14-2, losses to the Eagles and Jets, or 13-3, losses to the Eagles, Jets, and Colts. So
yeah, I mean, they have a handful of games that they could lose. I always figure on a split with the Jets. And then you have, you know, games. I think Philadelphia is definitely a candidate. Dallas and the Giants are not going to be gimmies. The Colts won't be a gimme. Pittsburgh won't be a gimme. San Diego probably won't be a gimme. And then if you factor in the Fred theory that there's always a game unexpected that you play poorly in.
You got Paul with a 7-9 record.
No. I don't say all. They're not going to lose all of those games.
You could.
I don't think
easier
they could
to lose than it is. To
I don't
win.
Think they could lose all of those games. I think those are the candidates that will be toughest. They'll probably go. You know, out of the maybe the six games, you probably go 4-2 in those games because you're a good team.
Sure.
But you know, add in an Oakland like Fred said, or a Kansas City like Andy said. Did he just bang his head? You are a moron,
Kevin. Just bangs his head.
Looking at something and hit his head on the glass. Yes, that's a glass. You know, it's see-through, but it actually exists. There's a solid wall there.
Dan from England writes in, thanks for answering my questions the past couple of weeks.
No problem.
But I have one more question that I would love for you to answer, and one that I think is
Brooklyn
far
Decker.
More important than anything regarding draft picks. On Patriots Today, why does Lindsay Petrucci look at the camera so much? It's quite troubling, and it makes me feel uncomfortable, like she's looking into my soul. I have a suspicion that she can't stand to look at B-Lo for more than a couple seconds. But if you guys have any other insight into this, your help would be much appreciated. Thanks for the help. Here's hoping we get a quintessential pass rusher.
Quinning.
See what he did there?
I don't know what goes on with B-Lo and Lindsay. There's some
Nothing.
Strange chemistry. That
they have asked.
On.
Andy and I have been doing these draft things.
Yeah, didn't they tell us to look at
and
it
they've
more?
They've asked us to look at the camera more. So I'm going to suppose that they have told Lindsay to look at the camera more, and maybe she's doing it too much now.
Okay.
Because they asked Andy. Because Andy and I generally, it's conversational.
I don't think I looked at the camera enough, though. I didn't change my style much.
Yeah, I usually look at the person I'm talking to.
Right.
And I have to, when they told me specifically, usually like as I'm like finishing whatever my thought is, I might look at the camera. But they specifically told Andy and I look at the camera more.
I've been told you should think of the camera as a third person and just get it into the conversation. So when you're talking, like, look at the camera like it's another person sitting around with you.
Is that what you do on the award-winning PFW TV show?
I try to do that. That's why our ratings are so high.
I think if you just tried to do, whoa.
Let's see. who's this next email from? Oh, 508-543-7482, Ace Ticket Hotline. Don in Southern California is on the phone. Hey, Don.
Hey, what's going on? I'm not in Southern California. I'm in Northern California.
Oh, it says Southern California on my prompter.
Well, it used to say.
No, I'm up here in Sacramento, so when you guys travel down to see the Raiders, I'll be there.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, I got
see a
question.
Loss, Fred.
Which round would you think that the Patriots will look at wide receivers? Because I have a few intriguing candidates here that I want to ask you guys about.
I think anywhere after that first pick in the second round.
I agree. Second pick in the second round on.
Second or third round. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, now I haven't heard you guys talk about Greg Little too much either. Andy, what's your take on Little?
I haven't seen a ton of tape on him. He's a beast.
He's a big wide receiver. He reminds me of like Bolden.
Yeah, he is a big dude. I've seen a little bit with him on NFL Network, some of their shows, talking to him, his training. I'm a little scared of him. He certainly has. I would put him in the boom or bust category.
Wow.
And he physically very very talented and very enticing. But I don't. I'm not sure I'm sold on his character and all that.
Wow. Because I was looking at SportsCenter yesterday, and another guy that came up that it wasn't Mayock, but the other guy was like Tandem Doss, the Indiana wide receiver.
Yep.
They say he had sweet hands, and he was a fast, like, boom or bust guy also.
Yeah,
I
don't know a ton on him either. I'm sorry to leave you hanging here, but you've hit on some of the guys I haven't seen a lot of tape on and don't have. But I've heard the names mentioned, and the upside is what everybody kind of fixates on. But you know me, I'm negative. I tend to fixate on the downside, and certainly for Little, I think there is a downside to that.
Another last one. Another guy that I really like is Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I like him.
I think if he comes to the Patriots, I think he'll be a great, great playmaker.
Yeah, Belichick would fall in love with him.
I love him.
As a receiver and as a jack of all trades.
Yeah,
right,
more
right.
of a slot guy, though, I think, if he's going to be a receiver, and I'm not sure that that's probably high on what the Patriots need. But, yeah, I think you're right, Don. I know Andy feels the same. We both like him a lot. Very versatile, very talented.
Right, so would you think that because I think he'll go early in the second round. So I think Belichick, if Belichick really wants him, he'll have to trade up.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to want him that much because I'm not sure it's a huge need. It might. That's almost like a 2 years down the road need where he's playing once, you know, if Welker and Branch aren't here or if Branch isn't here and as the offense is kind of evolving down the road.
Right.
I'm not
right.
sure he would be willing to take him at 33 or trade up. And I think there's a good chance he will go between the 33rd and the 60 they have next, right? I mean, in that 27-pick span, I think that's probably where you'll see Cobb come off the board, and I'm not sure they'd be willing to move up too far to get him based on all their right. other needs and the things they're going to be looking for.
Right. And I want to give my schedule prediction out also. I think we're going to go 13-3.
Okay.
I see a loss maybe to the Colts, Jets. And a lot of people say Eagles, but I think maybe the Cowboys if Romo is healthy.
Yeah. See, I'm not sure where the losses are going to be, but I'm telling you right now, I'm saying the Colts is a lock to be a win for the Patriots. A lock
okay.
win.
I feel good about it. I predicted a win, but I don't know if I'd go lock win.
Yeah, lock win.
I think that's – I always consider that a 50-50 coin flip game. And basically in the last 10 years it has been.
No, Fred
just like the Jets, I think we're going to split with the Jets like we always do.
Yep.
And I think we're going to see them again in the playoffs also.
Oh, don't know if I'm
ready. I don't really hope that. If
I don't know if
Quinn,
I'm ready for that.
Yeah,
if we get Quinn, we ready. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I was kind of
did you see what you've done to PFW and Progress Nation?
Well, that's
right. That's I love it, Don.
People,
I love
you should
it.
Give a with Quinn and a without Quinn record prediction.
You really dropped the ball
right.
on that. I didn't
Quinn,
want to do it in my
Quinn, I think Quinn would be the answer. If not Quinn, I'm really feeling Kerrigan. Not Watt, though. B-Lo is in love with Watt. I don't like
Watt. I don't know why B-Lo is in love with Watt. I just don't see it.
Because he likes to say Watt.
Guy in the world.
I like that. That was a good drop. All right, fellas.
All right.
Thanks, Don.
All right, Don.
Have a good one.
Don
good
in Sacramento.
Good stuff from Don
Town.
Today.
Let's see. Who do we have here? We have Jason in Binghamton, and he says, men of PFW, including the Fred Kirsch, not to be confused with the Twitter, thanks for reading my first email. I was hesitant to send it in. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I was reminded of the saying, if you like sausage, don't go to the sausage factory. Well, there's no bigger sausage factory than PFW in Progress, but you guys were great.
I don't think I like that.
Did any of you
see... We do need some women on this show, like on the show. Do we need to bring Lindsay in?
She's got an open invitation. Anytime she wants to come, she can come.
Cut down on the...
what?
Nothing. He actually laughed before I did on that one.
Did any of you see Pat Kerwin's two-round mock draft? He's got the Patriots coming away with Anthony Costanzo, Muhammad Wilkerson, Danny Watkins, and Ryan Williams over the first two rounds, and Buffalo's 2012 second-round pick and the Bengals' 2012 third-round pick thanks to a pair of trade downs. Sounds like good value to me, but it doesn't address the pass rush need. My question for you guys is this. Would you be happy with the Patriots draft if the team picked up a handful of players you really liked and maybe even a pick or two next season but didn't address the pass rush need?
Happy? Okay with it. I think it's the fatal flaw of this team. I think it's why the defense stunk last year. I think it's why you – if you don't get a pass rusher
– And Jermaine Cunningham, you're not thinking that he could develop into one.
Nope.
No.
I think he could develop into a secondary pass rusher. He's a good bit player opposite. I think you need a pass rusher, somebody who can put pressure on the quarterback. I don't think they have that guy on the roster, and if you come away to the draft without him, I fear you're going to win a lot of games again, and you'll be good enough here, good enough there, but ultimately you will still be fatally flawed.
Let's see.
Are you at all concerned, Andy, about the amount of people that have linked players that we've talked about at length and like to the Patriots? You know, the Ryan Williams, Daniel Thomas's, Muhammad Wilkerson's, not just, you know,
right.
Ryan Kerrigan.
No, there's endless ones.
And Robert Quinn. I mean,
Clint Bowling, James Carpenter,
well, if you
lineman.
Name them all eventually. Yeah.
No, but we don't.
But
we usually pick three or four per position
that we
or
like.
Something that we like.
It's not just the top guys at every position. There's specific guys that we like.
Don't assume they're not listening to our podcasts. Don't assume.
You know, there's a lot of running. There's a lot of running backs.
Maybe
in this
John
draft.
Robinson listens to our podcast. You should ask him.
Quinning,
ask him.
Yeah,
what's the matter, Paul?
I'll ask him. Do you know Fred Kirsch?
No, you always.
Were you annoyed when Fred Kirsch asked you to leave?
Before you start, you always have a little chit chat. So I said, you know,
now he's telling you how to do it.
Fred, it's just going to be a regular interview. The whole thing is going to be chit chat, I hope.
Say, Fred, you know, Fred was telling me that time in San Diego he was really embarrassed. You can bring that up.
I'll bring that up. Don't worry. I didn't need your permission to do that.
You won't like the tone in which it's brought
no.
up.
No.
There'll I'll be an apology.
And we'll have, and I'll separate myself.
We spend half our lives apologizing for our boss.
Good guy to work for, though.
Yes.
Actually, Fred, we have some audio from Paul Perillo's. Little rundown at KSP this morning. I think.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Go.
Is this authorized?
This is our last draft preview.
No, we still have that mock draft though coming.
The
up,
mock
right?
draft.
I need
right.
more airtime. I'm going to make that clear.
So, Paul,
are you flirting, Paul?
Thanks a lot, Paul, for the insight on these draft previews. We'll see you at the mock draft.
Yeah,
maybe
I'm ready.
Maybe we'll be Patriots today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
Yeah, well, I just want, as long as Paul Perillo was involved in that version, I'm all for it.
All right, thanks a lot, Paul. That's going to wrap up this edition.
I don't think there was any flirting there at all.
So Paul needs more airtime, Fred. That's what he's, that's
yeah,
what he's
well,
getting
we
out
all,
there.
Yeah, we always knew that.
What? I'm fine with that.
Let's see. Luke from the UConn writes
Was I looking at the camera?
Or her breasts.
Oh. Now, you see,
why do you
everybody,
have to do
see,
that?
This is what you do. Everybody yeah. knows what we're talking
why
about.
Why do you have to do
there's,
that?
There's vague references to, you know.
Is there no subtlety in your
but
life?
No, no you're like a really. Brick in the head, son.
Yeah. I think that's why his head is so big. He's been hit by too many bricks.
You're the one who said, she can come on down or whatever.
He's dropped
that, that was you taking
no,
it.
No, that was him.
No.
How do you think Beaver she
Stadium.
Would take it?
See, again, there's a difference.
Beaver Stadium.
I smile to you and you go, ha, ha, ha. Are you laughing
Stadium.
For me?
Luke and UConn, greeting men of PFW, or rather, should I say, big head, big shoulder, big. We already said that. And big blue balls. Who's blue? Oh, that would be.
Eric.
I don't even think they're really blue.
They just kind of.
They've
calcified it.
Yeah, what, atrophied.
Or they're gone.
Use it or lose it.
He
and
could
he
be
lost
a eunuch.
Because blue ball would imply that he was like close. He was got excited. There was a girl. You know, he thought something.
Scrabble.
Bam.
No?
Which is possible. You know, he may have walked by Lindsay in the hall and all. Oh.
Oh.
Over the past few years, I
gave her his O face.
Yeah, we should have our own show.
Over the past few years, I have debated heatedly with a Colts friend of mine about Manning versus Brady. In the end, his essential argument comes down to Manning's apparently higher regular season stats. I'm getting a little annoyed at how easily Patriots fans and Brady supporters simply lie down and give the stats argument to Manning. People simply list off the large discrepancy in career numbers without mentioning the large discrepancy in games played, which is 63 essentially four extra seasons for Manning. I decided to conduct a comparison of career stats where I divided their career numbers by their total games played and then multiplied by 100 to see how they would compare after both playing 100 games. The results are quite surprising. TDs per game. I don't even know how to understand. I guess Brady has 180 TDs per 100 games. Manning has 190. Interceptions per game. Brady has 71 interceptions per 100 games, and Manning has 95. And then yards per game per 100 games. Brady has over 24,000 yards, and Manning has over 26,000 yards. So on average, over 100 game span, Manning will throw 10 more TDs, 24 more interceptions only, 1,963 more yards than Brady. Call me crazy, but I'll trade 10 less TDs for 24 less interceptions and 10 more Super Bowl, two more Super Bowls any day of the week.
Anyway, so you took stats out of it.
Anyway,
I agree with you. I'll take the Super Bowls,
but I also
you took the stats out of it.
Right? Also, it's somewhat flawed in comparison. If you really want to break it down, that Manning started right away and threw, I believe, 28 interceptions that year.
Right,
that's correct.
Brady sat
right
and had a chance. Now it's different because one was the number one overall pick and one was late.
Right.
But he learned on the fly immediately as a college quarterback turned pro quarterback.
Right.
And that's a lot of interceptions.
And not on a great team.
Yeah. No. I think, listen, we talked about this
They're
a million
times. They're
both great. The Brady-Manning argument is great because it is so close.
I just
close.
Like that it changes.
It's so close.
It's obviously Brady right now. He's the reigning MVP. He's got the title. And then in a year, you'll be saying, right. Freaking Manning is
it
so
was
freaking
obvious,
good.
It was obvious to anybody around 2004, 2005 that it was Brady.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Manning won one in 06, and then he was on the verge of winning one again in what, 09? What was the, you remember, what was the year they lost to the Saints? 09, right?
Yes.
Remember, if he wins this one, well, it's right. Obviously Manning. And then he loses, and it's not even an argument
right.
anymore.
Not only does he lose, he throws the interception to lose it.
Well whatever.
Regardless
but
of that.
They end up losing the game, and it's now you can't even have Peyton Manning in the sentence anymore.
And sandwiched around that, Tom Brady had two MVP seasons where he started to do Manning-like statistically, but fell on his face championship-wise.
Right.
So... the whole argument,
which
mixed.
Is why I said, I mean, if you're going to go by the stats, there Manning had the better stats, but that's not the only
right.
gauge in the argument.
Right.
You have to take into consideration
2-minute offense,
winning
and postseason
head-to-head
matchups,
big spots, three right. Super Bowls to one. I mean, that's a big gap.
There's a lot of stuff there, but I like that it has all kind of changed a few different ways. That it was once stats versus winner. Well, now he's got the stats, but he hasn't been winning as much. Not that Manning has won since then.
No, they're both unbelievable.
And let's just say that there's no way I would turn down either one.
Yeah.
No way.
Ed in Framingham, to the men of Jake Steele, while I was shocked on Tuesday when Andy passed my tests and chose Robert Quinn over Brooklyn Decker. A deal is a deal. Andy's seat in the In on Quinn bandwagon is reinstated. You will be getting your Quinning bumper sticker and Dakota ring in the mail.
By the way, somebody within the organization who we're chatting with thought Quinning was lame for cover words if we draft him.
Okay. Someone who obviously listens to this show.
No, I told him.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, good for him.
Why do I hear like...
Why? Is that what we're going to put if they got Quinn?
I thought that would work, no?
It could.
If we took Robert Quinn with the first pick.
Yeah.
Quinning.
That'd be good. Yeah.
That's a good cover.
Question. In the NBA, you hear about
Of course,
about
we can never talk about him again after that.
you hear about teams trading lottery projected draft choices all the
time.
Protected. I'm sorry. There is a very small...
Well, it's key for this.
There is a very small chance that the 2012 draft will not happen. Can the Pats trade a pick this year for a pick in the next NFL draft, or does it have to be more specific? If the 2012 draft does not happen, that 2013 draft will be historically good with 2 years' worth of talent to choose from. The odds of this happening are pretty remote, but if this did occur, picks in that draft would be extremely valuable, I guess.
No, if the 2012 draft does not occur, you lose that.
You lose it.
It's not. You can't trade for the next draft. You have to trade for 2012 or 2013 or whatever.
Be a lot of good undrafted free agents in that class, too.
That's as far ahead as you can go is 2 years, correct?
Three,
okay.
But it changes as of the draft day. That was that unique wrinkle. Once the 2011 draft starts, you can go 12, 13, 14. As of right now, you can only go through 13 because the 2011 is technically a future draft. Yeah. Do you have your microphone on in there? I keep hearing stuff.
Well, what are you hearing?
It's not my fault.
What are you hearing?
You did.
I heard
could hear you.
I could hear,
I could
noise
hear Pac-Man.
Background.
You had your microphone on. I saw you turn it off,
yeah,
and
no,
you turned it back on to talk.
I know, but there's no noise in here, though.
There is.
He was going to turn it off, but Doc wouldn't let him.
And it wasn't his fault that Doc wouldn't let him.
I was trying to figure out how to turn the volume off.
How to bang your head against the glass.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
He's trying to figure out how to turn the volume off on the TV in the room that he just said there's nothing, there's no noise.
Well,
in.
No, we
this
did.
This is our producer.
Well, I did it. Relax.
Let's see. Fred writes in, thanks, Fred. You take off early on Tuesday and you leave Forrest Gump and his box of chocolates in charge of the emails. Lo and behold, my email does not get read. Not the best way to treat a top five draft pick.
Just He came to my cube this morning and said, I didn't think I did that bad reading the emails the other day. We didn't get too many complaints.
Well, there was a few. I mean, we had a whole listener mock draft to go through, Freddie, with all like 32 listeners. And then we had like a couple.
So that was a lot of words to read, Fred.
Wow.
And then a couple and/or draft scenarios that took a while. And then these two got in a fight after you left.
Well, that's
so
good.
That took at least 15
minutes.
Getting
in fights are okay. Then you just
fights
sit back and listen.
So yeah. I'd say we didn't get. We had about 20-something emails in the inbox that probably didn't get read.
I had to leave you guys unsupervised last week as I was out of my country and was actually down in your neck of the woods on a soccer training camp for my daughter. While I was in New England, I decided to do the PFW New England tour. I had a few good meals, Fred, had a few Miller Lights, Paul, started looking for trouble around every corner, Andy, and then did some antiquing, Eric, but not to be left out. In the spirit of Kevin, I kept telling my daughter to stay in the back seat and speak when she's spoken to. Well, things finally came to a head on Celebrity Apprentice. Bill Polian got the boot. The boys had to do a cooking demonstration for Omaha Steaks, and Polian tried to, but Coach Belichick on, but
who's
tried
Paul, to help me out here. Who's Bill Polian on Celebrity Apprentice?
I think he's Meatloaf. Oh no, Meatloaf
Belichick
is Belichick.
Is Meatloaf.
Meatloaf is Belichick. Who's Bill Polian?
Maybe Bill Polian is Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte, maybe.
Is that Nick Nolte or Gary Busey?
Gary Busey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't watch Celebrity Apprentice.
I don't either.
The boys had to do a cooking demonstration for Omaha Steaks, and Polian tried to, but Coach Belichick threw him under the bus by putting him on the grill. The unfortunate part is that Coach Belichick does not know from grilling, and it went downhill from there. The men lost, and Polian got the boot. So now we're left with Coach Belichick, some guy who appears to be Pac-Man Jones, and the little cowboy from Toy Story. And just to go off topic for a moment, as if that wasn't already, is there some reason that the country stars feel some need to wear a cowboy hat all the time? These people clearly have some insecurity issues by constantly having to show people where they're from, or under that hat, they got some big-time Paul Perillo going on.
Oh, that could be.
So
that,
anyway.
I wear baseball hats a lot.
There we have Little John Rich parading down Fifth Avenue like some flashback to an old episode of McCloud, Sans the Horse. Anyway, I digress. And
Save
he goes
a horse,
on.
Ride a cowboy,
I did the other day cast my vote for Drew for the Pats Hall of Fame. I did not vote for the Big Tuna for one simple reason. I can carry a grudge like it has handles. There are 31 other teams in the NFL. You do not leave the Jets and go to Pats and go to the Jets. That dog just don't hunt. In my eyes, it is a big F you to Patriots Nation, same as Johnny Damon going to the Yankees. You're dead to me. It may sound petty, but I'm not a hypocrite, and that is how I feel. My question today is the following. If the Patriots had need at every position, including quarterback, what top-tier prospect would you want them to steer clear of, regardless of who, how far they fell?
What prospect? Read that again, just that last part. What prospect would you steer clear of?
What top-tier prospect would you want them to steer clear of, regardless of how far they fell?
Nick Fairley.
That's a good one. A lot of people agree with you.
Very talented. Yeah. Very, very good football
player. But
only when
he wants to be.
He scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
I think I'd go Cam Newton.
Okay.
That's a good one,
too. That's a good one, too, yeah.
That's a good one, too.
Yep. So there you
go. You know what's funny? I think there's a lot of those guys. Daquan Bowers, you know, for the injury reasons.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on any of the quarterbacks. They could all get taken, you know. We talked about that earlier in the show.
Hey, Kevin, was it Mick from Melbourne in Australia that bought lunch today?
No, it was Chris with a T-I-A-N.
Oh, Chris with a T-I-A-N. I don't have
an email?
An email from him. But Mick in Melbourne says, I've listened to the show and subscribed to the online magazine for over a year, and I think it's time that I supply lunch in the near future so I can be pleased, so I can please be emailed how and when I can do this.
Kevin?
I really don't think people have to buy us lunch.
They don't.
They don't have to.
They know they don't have
to. I plan to listen to the show live today as I'm working night shift at a metropolitan police station in Melbourne.
Nice.
But we've just had an angry drunk female lodged at the station that I need to keep an eye on. If she decides to cause any problems, I'll tell her that if she's not careful, that I'll let Paul loose. Anywho, I'm looking forward to the draft when we find out that Bill does indeed covet a defensive end from North Carolina. 2012, Quentin Copples, in trades with a bottom feeder for another future first rounder. Gotta go. My guest is starting to shout. I think she's trying to say that Cam Newton doesn't want Jimmy Clausen's starting job, just his computer.
Did you ever hear that story that he not only stole the computer, but supposedly like painted it and then like painted his name on it, like it's mine.
Right.
It has my name on
it's
it.
Like
obviously
when you steal a car, you put it to the chop shop.
Right. And, yeah. But he like, because I guess you're not supposed to paint computers, Fred, it said, or something, too. Like, it's not good for them.
Oh,
or,
really?
But he painted, like, Newton on it, like it was always his.
Oh, man.
Like, what?
Okay, so now we have somebody from media relations making
I'll
hand signals.
I'll go check
window.
Mouthing something to Paul, who's mouthing back.
Alex.
Paul, you could talk, and he'd be able to hear you.
Actually, we probably should take a break, and when we get back, on the phone... Barry Insion is on the phone, or as we call him, Chris Gokhan. And he has some info about upcoming tailgates. So we'll get to him right after this break.
They'll talk about just about anything on PFW in progress. And Andy's getting sick of this.
Okay, that does it. Now use it. Why is it that everything today has involved things either going in or coming out of my ass?
Patriots.com Radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
Yeah, I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. And as promised, Barry Insion from the Patriots tailgate is on the phone. Hey, Barry, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Long time no talk.
Yeah. What's up?
So obviously we're highly anticipating the schedule to come out to see where the road games were going to be placed on the calendar and start planning on that. And, you know, the big game. the big game for us on the West Coast is obviously the Raiders. So now that we know that's on October 2nd, I've already been in touch with the ticket sales rep with the Raiders, and we're going to be purchasing a big block of group tickets. They're going to be about $100 each. They're going to be on the Patriots sideline, the visitor sideline, in a lower level. And this is actually one of the few stadiums, one of the real few teams that you can actually buy group tickets.
On the day of.
Because, yeah, well, I guess that just shows that the Raiders fans, you know, they aren't buying their own
right.
tickets.
Right.
And so normally you get relegated up into the upper level corner nosebleeds kind of thing. It's not great seats, if you know, especially if you're traveling to see a game. So this is one, even though I know Oakland is one of those stadiums that some people are a little hesitant to go to, because we're going to have probably 150 to 200 people. There's safety in numbers.
So yeah, strength in numbers.
Right.
Exactly. Now,
yeah. So that's good. So where can people get in touch with you? Why don't you give out that info?
Yeah, as usual, the Patriots Tailgate Yahoo group. The URL for that's a little hard to explain verbally, so people can just search for that, Patriots Tailgate Yahoo group, or you can find us on the F-Corps registry.
Right.
And we're starting to collect payments right now, and because the purchase is going to be made in early May, we're cutting off the payments on May 7th.
Ooh.
And I know that's quick. You know, that's typical. You know, people are going to not necessarily, you know, we don't know what the status of the season is going to be, but if there is no football, it'll obviously be refunded. I'm
right.
assured that by the Raiders. So
yeah,
there's
so,
no risk from that standpoint.
I mean, and other than the game, it's a nice little vacation because, you know, you can go to San Francisco. It's right across the bridge there and visit Alcatraz
exactly.
and all that stuff. So it's
yeah, a lot of cool stuff. And
yeah.
October is a nice time of the year to be there. And
yeah.
hopefully we'll get something planned for Saturday night that, you know, well, another party, kind of like we did in San Diego and
yeah.
Denver and Seattle. And
yeah. Now, are you yourself going to be traveling at all other than that game?
You know, I was really hoping to go to Denver, and I still may. I was also hoping that game was going to be in October, since I'm not, being from Hawaii and California, I'm not
right.
I'm not that keen on the cold weather.
right.
So seeing that it was late December, you know, I'll think about it, but I'm not fully yeah. committing to that one quite yet.
Because I know Pikes Peak Pats fan club has contacted us, and they're going to do something for the Denver
yeah,
game
exactly.
too.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to be working with them on promoting
yeah.
that as well. So yeah,
great.
If anybody needs information on buying tickets for that, they're also doing something similar. They're going to be buying club seats. And they're also going to be making that purchase pretty soon.
Excellent.
So you can get more information about that on Patriots Tailgate Yahoo group as well.
That's
Those
awesome.
Tickets are going to be a little bit more expensive, actually a lot more expensive, because they're in the club level,
yep.
which is really nice. You got the indoor
yeah.
concourse and everything.
That'd be awesome.
But they're probably going to be close to $250 each.
Ooh,
so
okay.
bigger investment on that one. But, you know, at least, you know, during halftime, you know, you can go warm up in the concourse. You have nice clean restrooms, great concessions.
Sure.
You got all the TV screens to follow what's going on in the other games. So, yeah, a little bit pricier, but, you know, you get what you pay for.
Right.
So, and not just those games, but also any other road game, you know, we're trying to help Patriots fans get together and tailgate together. And if there's enough interest in other locations, we'll do what we can to find group tickets or, you know, try to just buy them in blocks that we can all sit together for.
All right, Barry.
Cool.
Well, keep in touch with us, and whatever you need us to do to get the word out, you know, we'll do it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, obviously, when the season gets, hopefully, you know, things get settled and we can actually really start nailing things down. And, you know, obviously, when it gets within a few weeks of each game, I'll give you guys a ring and let you know what's going on in terms of the parties, the tailgates, the tickets,
yep.
and anything else that we got planned.
Very good.
Sounds
All right.
good.
All right, Barry,
cool,
thanks
guys.
For calling.
All
Barry
right.
from the Patriots Yahoo Tailgate. And you can search for them on Yahoo or go to the fan club official registry on Patriots.com and get his contact info there as well. You know, I'm glad he called because it kind of reminds me of something. We were talking about doing something different on the way we cover games here at Patriots Football Weekly. You know, things have changed. Everyone from around the world can, you know, in some form or fashion, listen to or watch the game these days. You know, there's some way to do it, whether it's the stuff we do on Patriots.com or, you know, over the internet or actually watching on TV, radio, whatever. So, you know, the way we cover games, we thought maybe it's time to change that. And so one of the ideas we had was a PFW pregame social. And basically what we think we might do, we're looking at it, is, you know, Paul and Andy would actually do a show for 2 hours right before the game. where, you know, they're taking calls, they're taking emails, they're checking out, you know, Twitter and Facebook. It's basically a place for fans around the world to gather pregame and have a virtual social before the game. So we're going to have more details as we develop that concept. But I think it's going to be pretty cool and something new for fans to do before the game. And, you know, you can still have your TV on if you like watching the CBS pregame show, whatever. But, it's a way for fans to interact on game day, a gathering place virtual around the world. And so, you know, like, for example, if Barry is, you know, at his home base in some bar in San Diego watching the game, call in from the bar and, you know, tell us what you're drinking, you know, and who's there and what you guys think about the game. And, you know, you guys will be here. I'll be calling in, you know, from where we are. You know, it'll be really cool.
Yeah, we'll incorporate all the tailgating stuff and what you guys are doing, how you guys watch the games with regular pregame information. Fred and Eric, or one of them at least, will be calling in, so we'll get, you know, what's going on the field for road games and whatnot, and inactives once those become available and things like that. If there's, you know, Wes Welker is injured and we see him maybe going through a pregame workout on the field to test whatever's wrong, you know, Fred will let us know that that's going on. And
who's
going to
tell Fred and Eric?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Andy and I won't be there to let them know. But that's the idea, is to sort of combine the traditional pregame show with the newer social media.
Right.
And make it turn into a pregame social.
A global tailgate party, if you will.
Right.
Yes.
Everybody holding a beer, standing out at Gillette Stadium, talking about what's going to happen that day in the game and what happened.
Wipe that clueless look off your face, because you're going to become an integral part of the show.
Which is the one flaw
That's
of the idea.
That's the one flaw in our idea.
Okay.
We effed up. We trusted you.
Okay.
So
the first I've heard of it.
Well,
so
this was a brainstorm by the three of us yesterday in Fred's office, even though Andy's taking all the credit.
Is it
for
something, Fred? Could you do, obviously, for road games? These two will be staying here now.
That's correct.
Is it something that you could have taken on the road and done remotely?
No,
not really,
because you really can't do radio from press boxes. You know, people are complaining because you're talking too loud and all that stuff.
That's just flat out rude.
Yeah. So
spoken from someone who had to do that for 3 years.
And the way we want to do it with Facebook and
Twitter
and
everything.
Yeah,
you guys are going to have screens open here. You're going to be, you know, juking and jiving and
we've
multitasking.
You know, with all the Patriots 4:15 games, if the Jets are playing at 1, well, Paul and I will be here. We'll have we'll be talking some Jets and up to the date what the Jets are doing, and just a lot that couldn't be done at the stadium with the travel we have and all that.
No, that's definitely sounds like a cool idea.
We kind of need to centralize it and make it the same every week, home or away.
So will the same thing be happening after the game, or will you guys? Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. But our hope is to legitimately tie together Patriots Nation from California and Sacramento or the party in San Diego all the way to England and some of these people. You know, they don't all have the ability. Some people have the ability to go to a bar, and there's 8 or 10 of them, 20 of them. But some of them just want to feel like they're at the bar, even though they're at home in England.
No, I think
we want to tie it all together.
And we should have check-ins. If you have a large gathering, let us know before the show. We'll check in with you.
Funny, as you mentioned that, I'm getting Facebook notifications from the UK Pats fans saying that Fred's idea sounds excellent.
There we go.
Fred's idea.
Well,
Son of a bitch.
It's all of our ideas.
I knew this was going to happen. It was going to be Fred's idea. He's going to get a promotion and a new Cadillac.
So it'll be like a 2 hour pregame, or will it be?
2 hour pregame up to 15 minutes before the game.
Before the game.
At that time, I would start in with the blog.
Okay. Which is good. With all our 4 o'clock games, it'd be 2 to 4.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
A little awkward in the morning when it's 10:45, 12:45.
Yeah, we'll get it done, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the part that worries me.
But so we're still developing it, but that's the overall concept. And I think it could be a thing that other teams will do too, because it just makes sense to, you know, recognize that you have fans all over the place and they want to be part of game day.
And that's what we want it to be. We want you to rant, bitch.
Right.
If they're on an 8-game winning streak, we want the cockiness. We want all of that to come out in passion.
And we'll have guests. We'll talk if we're playing the Raiders, we'll talk up to their beat writer. We'll have him on the show.
And do matchups and that kind of stuff. But we want fan passion. We want the barroom atmosphere of talking trash or whatever you want to do that day.
Now, will Paul be drinking?
He would like to. Paul has asked if we could have Miller Lite and wings available.
Because we do still have a paper to put
That's
out.
What I told him. I go to editing. I know our editing is suspect at times anyway, but...
That's another question I had too, Freddie. How does that impact Andy and Paul's contribution?
We're tweaking the paper as well. Don't you worry about it. We've got our bases covered.
I think overall, it's time for a change in how we cover the games anyway.
Yeah.
So I think we can do both.
Cool.
I think we can do both.
This isn't your grandpa's PFW. We're taking it new age.
It was a logical question that
cutting edge
subscribers would probably
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. You know.
Youth movement here at PFW. Fred and Paul are out. Andy's in. Eric, I don't know where he stands.
Fred and Paul are out. What?
I'm the youth movement. I'm the youngest member of the staff.
You are.
You know, despite your hairline, you're the youngest.
I'm still in the best shape.
I'm your
of
intern,
all of you.
So let's.
But you're gonna, you're gonna need to lift your game. We're gonna need some of your. We need your strengths to rise up.
We might actually need another person in addition to Kevin on game day.
Yeah, let's get rid of Kevin. Let's get some
In addition.
For what?
Well, just someone who's really social savvy.
Okay.
And
I mean, I'm pretty
competent.
I'm pretty proficient. I mean, you guys knock me. I'm pretty proficient with Facebook.
He does spend a lot of time on Facebook.
I said in addition to you. I'm not trying to push you aside.
Gotcha.
I say in addition to
you. He's like another thing they won't let me do.
I know. Chris with a TIAN who bought us lunch. Thank you. He says, I hope you enjoyed lunch, minus the buffalo stains on Fred. As for the hall, Drew got my vote. F Parcells. I still hate that he went to the freaking Jets. Up to number 16 in the latest mock. That's what I'm talking about. My pro day. Held at my alma mater, Malden Catholic, put me over the top. As for schedule, yes, that grade eight, that middle eight game stretch is about as tough and physical as it gets. However, 12-4 or 13-3 is not out of the question. I also like where the bye falls for them in week 7. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Smack in the middle. If you look at the preseason, it's 10-10.
And it's right. It's before a difficult game.
Yeah, it's before
Pittsburgh, right?
Before the trip to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So you get a little extra. Yep. Didn't they have? Did they have the bye before Pittsburgh last year?
I think either yes, I believe they did.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of the schedule is very palatable. Yeah, there's a lot to like about it, but it's not easy either.
I can't wait for the draft and PFW shows next week. Your draft shows are epic, and I hope I'll be able to call in. Please, Belichick, draft a pass rusher. All right.
We hope you'll be able to call in too. I'm sure we've promised call-ins before and never lived up to it.
Oh, I got a feeling this week they're gonna.
So not only are we gonna have call-ins. We're going to have 5 phone lines available for the draft?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're sure?
Yeah. It's
how are they getting from here to up there? And that's what always worries me.
It's just one line. I mean, all the calls are on hold down here, and then they send the one that's live upstairs.
Okay. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
have no idea what I'm talking about.
I say you swear at somebody.
Paul just ran out of here like he had to go to the bathroom.
He had to go down to KSP. John Robinson.
I thought they were going to try to bring him here now.
Your friend, good friend Brian Lowe gave me a call and was like, get Paul down here right away. So I gave him the yank.
Okay.
I need to play Debbie Downer. You know I'm good at that role, wet blanket. As we look ahead to the schedule and everybody's projecting everything at 13-3, no one had that confidence last year, let's be honest.
No.
And they got a great year out of a lot of young players.
A lot McCourty, of the things we said had Grunk, to fall in place, fell in place.
Is there a major concern or concern that the old thing we talk about, that once the other teams get scouting reports, once the book is out, you know how those young pitchers go through a couple times, they're great, and then the other team gets the book on them and they're not so great anymore? Any chance that the book gets out there on McCourty? You know, certain things, what he bites on, what he doesn't bite on, how he can be beat, whatever. Gronkowski, Hernandez, you know, some of these guys that were vital to the success last year.
But,
any year two fall back to reality.
And I hear what you're saying, but when you get a guy like Gronkowski,
Woodhead, I would throw in there.
Yeah, Woodhead, definitely. But Gronkowski, you can't not make him 6'5 with good hands and know how to use his body.
I agree.
You know, those are the kind of things where, good, you have the book. Now, stop.
How about Hernandez?
Hernandez is a guy that I think could have a book.
And he seemed like during the year he rode a roller coaster where at times he was wide open, and then it seemed like times teams would kind of shut him down, change their coverage.
Yeah, but now we know he had an injury that he was dealing with.
But I also think teams adjusted to how they covered him. Oh, okay, yeah, we're going to have to cover him.
And that's fine, as long as other guys step up.
The Packers guy talked a little bit about that, I think.
Is that right?
There was a story where the Packers scout or assistant coach. And I just have some concerns that not all of those guys can play necessarily as well as they did last year. Usually we're looking, we're projecting. Okay, a guy had four good games as a rookie. Now we're projecting he'll have 8 or 10 and he's going to make that year two quote unquote jump.
Right.
But what about if they were really, really good as rookies like McCourty and Gronkowski and Hernandez, even right. Woodhead, I'll throw in there as a new
right.
face.
Sophomore slump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it that could. Concerns me a little bit.
I think that this offseason is going to be all about making that defense better. And if they do that, they'll be fine.
Well, I mean, the key to doing that is staying healthy, a little healthier up front, probably yeah. adding some depth on the D-line, but the pass rusher, it's what everybody talks about.
Yeah.
If you go into the season with Ninkovich, Cunningham, because I don't hold out a lot of hope that Cunningham is going to all of a sudden be this great pass rusher.
I don't either.
Ninkovich, Cunningham, and Banta Kane are your outside linebackers. It's a fatal flaw to me. I like those two of those three guys I like a lot. Banta Kane and Ninkovich are two of my favorite players on the team, favorite guys to talk to. I just don't think they're elite starters. I don't even think they're starters really in the NFL, never mind elite pass rushers.
Yeah. Alex in Washington, I was wondering what your thoughts were on Cameron Hayward. Also, out of all of these players, who would you most want to see as our third wide receiver next year? Randy Moss, Ocho Cinco, Steve Smith, Malcolm Floyd, a specific second, third round wide receiver in the draft, or someone already on the roster? Keep up the good work.
I would be intrigued by Steve Smith and Malcolm Floyd. The Malcolm Floyd one I like because I've always been intrigued by his talents. Ever since he tore up the Patriots a few years back, kind of came on the radar and has been good since. He's a big play guy down the field, and he's also young. So it wouldn't just be for next year. I think you'd be getting somebody for the long term. And Steve Smith is a phenomenal talent
when
healthy.
If you've got Steve Smith on this team right now, he could be your number one receiver.
Yes, and
you know, the problem with him is his fuse. He's got a short fuse. He's a emotional player. You know, I'd worry about that. But phenomenal athlete.
Yes, although he's smaller.
But he's fast.
He's a down. No, he's a
and
down,
he's
and he's strong, and he's a down the field yeah. guy, no question.
Yeah.
Which is why I'd be intrigued by him. To me, those guys are different than Ocho Cinco. I'm still intrigued by Moss. I'm worried that he's just done, even though I'd take him and try to get squeeze some more out of it, but. The Malcolm Floyd intrigues me because I think he could be a guy that could be a long-term option.
Let's see. Scott writes in about Steve Sable, who's sick, by the way, had that tumor.
Yes.
He says, I thought it would be quite fitting that I would share a quote from Sports Illustrated Monday morning quarterback section with Peter King. As you may know, Steve Sable from NFL Films is battling a brain tumor, and the prognosis does not look good. So this is what Steve had to say. So they talk about heaven, he said, and I don't know what is waiting for me up there, but I can tell you this.
It's a bit of a bold assumption, no?
Nothing will happen up there that can duplicate my life down here. Nothing. That life cannot be better than the one I've lived down here, the football life. It's been perfect.
Room full of 20 Brooklyn Deckers.
In an atmosphere where everything and everyone that is reported on is to be picked apart and mocked, my impression from watching this guy over the years is that he has been as real as it gets. He loves what he does, and unless he pulls the upset, we will miss him. And as I've turned 49 today, am I older than both Paul and Fred or in the middle? Well, you're the same age as me, and you're
20 years younger than Paul.
Younger than Paul. okay, Andy, now do your thing. So, which is
I was doing it as you went along. Right.
By the way, the next time you have a push-up contest, try doing Marine push-ups where you clap in between each one. Then you have no excuse from anyone. But you still have to go down all the way.
Right.
That's
because you could just stay up in that version and just kind of clap
right.
and not really go down.
Right. We'll do one-handed push-ups next time.
I'd like to see you do
arm behind the back.
You can do a one-handed push-up?
Sure, I can.
I haven't tried in a long time, but
yeah.
I didn't used to be able to do too many.
Yeah.
It'll be a short contest.
You know those, you know, like if you have those poles, I can put myself out
Shut up.
Horizontally on
no,
a pole.
No, you can't.
Sure I can.
Can you really?
No. Maybe I could.
Because I've seen people do that, and I don't think I ever
time,
could.
At one time, when I was young, I could do all that kind of stuff.
You're built for it because you got the big shoulders and the little legs.
Right, exactly.
You're upside down.
I was very, you know, anything to do with the arms or shoulders, I could do well.
I would pay to see you right now if you could do that. Hold yourself out on a pole.
I couldn't do that anymore.
Because I think that's impressive.
Oh, it's that Cirque du Soleil, those people?
Yes, that's
like,
very
I
impressive.
I always thought that there's a gimmick. There's something they're doing.
Oh, no.
But they're not. It's just, unbelievable.
Yeah.
John at South Carolina wanted to know if Paul could ask John how someone becomes a scout. What is the path to start off coaching, or is that what someone does with a degree in sports management? Now, most of these scouts start out as scouts and become coaches later, if they do at all.
Right.
But, you know, they start out of these lowly assistants. And I'm talking, you want to talk about drudgery? If you can make it through those first years of doing that stuff, you deserve to be a scout.
Right.
Because it is as monotonous and as low as you can get on the totem
pole.
But
some of them also stay area scouts for a long time, and they're on the road all the time. They're living in hotel to campus to hotel to this campus. And
They're like in Wichita watching football.
You have to love what you're doing. You special people for that job.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Anthony in Naples is on the phone. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're just talking draft and scouting and all that
Your
kind of
fiance.
Stuff.
Your fiancé.
Oh, what about my fiancé?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
I sent that picture for you, Andy.
Yes, I saw. Well done. Congratulations. Above the bar?
Yeah.
Above the hoop?
Yeah.
But it's
actually funny that you say scouts. There's a friend of the family. He's actually a baseball scout, and it's insane. Like, he's never home.
Yep.
And he's only for a college, too, let alone a pro team.
Yeah, there's a whole world of, and you're right, it's all levels. It's college, baseball, basketball, football, all those things when they're recruiting and everything. There's a whole road lifestyle out there that I certainly know I'm not cut out for.
Yeah, he got drafted by a major league team but never made it to the bigs, you know, and he kind of stayed in their farm system for a little bit.
Right.
And then he just, like, got certain degrees and whatnot, and now that's pretty much what he's doing. You know, he's scouting for, like, local college teams down here in Florida, actually on the East Coast. And it's crazy. Like, he's, like, away for, like, 14 days at a time. You know, he comes home barely for, like, weekends and stuff. His fiance is getting a little annoyed with it, you know, just the traveling that he does.
Yeah, that's a tough life, and you're right. It puts pressures on families and relationships and marriages and all that.
Yeah, he could never have children. You know what I mean? Like, right now, what he's doing, it would be impossible. He'd have to give up his career.
Or she'd be a single parent, basically.
Yeah, luckily, you know, how he can do it, he's 23.
Right.
You know, like, no children, 23, you can do that crap.
Right.
There's no way, like, if somebody my age in, like, 30s, like, and if I have kids in a couple of years, there's no way I could, like, I would love to be, like, a scout or, like, to be involved in the NFL in that manner, but you could never do it.
Right, and that's why a lot of them, hopefully, they work up the ladder, and then at some point you're in your early 30s, and now you're in a front office, and you're more tied to, you're Nick Caserio. Most of your time is spent at the facility. You do some road scouting, still do combines and stuff, but it's not the day after day, week after week, all year long.
Yeah, hey, I'm glad you brought up Nick Caserio. Let me tell you something. He can control a room. He looks pretty good in that you know, when he was talking about the draft, and I've seen that tape a couple of times, you know, and just, you know, he's on point. I like his swagger.
Yeah,
and
I emailed him, and I said, you did a great job there. I thought I was impressed. I thought he that was like 45 minutes of straight talking.
He has, he has learned well, too.
No condescending type of manner, too.
Right.
You know, just, you know, in depth, spoke about it. Hey, this is what we're doing. Yeah. I liked him a lot. You know, I like his character, the way he came off anyway.
Well, I think he's learned from Bill, he's learned the style of being able to answer almost everything without saying anything, but he does a better job of making you feel like he said something, or, you know, the little, whether it's a look or a smile or an anecdote, whatever.
There you go. It's the smile, maybe, that makes all the difference in the
world. It does.
Makes them look human.
And Bill, when Bill wants to, he has that. You know, there are times when he ends an answer where he basically told you to go F yourself, but with a smirk, and you're like, hey, we were just playing along there. You know what I mean? And when he wants to, when he's in the mood to play along with those, he has them.
Can't wait to Wednesday to file that injury report.
Yeah. I'd love to, Andy, and he just laughs or whatever.
Yeah. But, hey, you know why I was really calling was I wanted to ask, because now basically it's official, you know, the free agency, hopefully, you know, God willing, there's going to be free agency like shortly after in May.
What's official?
What's that?
What's official?
Well, I'm saying hopefully, like, there'll be a CBA in place before the end of May or maybe in June. I don't know.
No, I hope too, but you said now that it's official.
No.
Have you heard something?
Now that it's
No, now that it's official that free agency will be after the draft, because we still
Right.
Yeah. If you had let me finish, I would have been.
Fred's always interrupting, despite the fact that he's the one who always says, "You gotta stop talking. We're talking about talking."
Cutting off one of our loyal callers.
Yeah, it's typical of Fred.
It's okay. But what do you think? What's your opinion? If it's successful, do you think the teams will actually consider having free agency after the draft now? Do you think there'll be teams pushing for that?
We talked about that, and I think a lot of coaches
are... Oh, did you really? I'm sorry, I wasn't hearing it.
Not today, but a lot of GMs, I think, are interested to see how it would go.
That's what I was thinking. This is like a test type of like market. This is a test right now. They're trying to try it out.
They'll want it, personally.
If they do, they'll have to move the draft up. The draft would have to come, early March.
I still say it's going to push the price up of free agents, some guys that are limited at a position. You got closed out of that position in the draft.
Well, this
and
year,
you have to get it. No, but I'm saying if you did it permanently, if you didn't get a starting caliber tackle in the draft, you have to get one in free agency if free agency comes after that. And that raises the value of those guys. I think it would cause you to have to spend more money.
Yeah, but the draft isn't guaranteed, Andy. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you go into a draft, you might need a left tackle. And there's one, a free agent that's available. You might need to grab that guy, the way it was before.
But to me, it gives you more options. Whereas I think there's less options the other way. I think it can tie your hands a little bit more and push the price of free agents up.
Do you think it's possible they could use that as a negotiating tool? As in, hey, free agency, there'd be a bigger price tag now because it'll be after the draft. Do you think that's a negotiating tool?
Probably not a huge one.
Yeah. I'm very interested in how this is going to work out now. It's like the chicken, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's
right.
I feel like there's a lot of questions in the air about this free agency.
But let's just look at the Patriots. Say they don't get a pass rusher in the draft at all, and we all feel it's a fatal flaw. And now they're negotiating with Tamba Ali or Lamar Woodley or whatever, whichever one they pick.
Yeah.
Theoretically, if I'm the agent, I'm saying,
sure,
you need me. The price just went up. You have no other option. There's no fallback. I'll go draft a guy who might be able to play. You didn't. You need me more than I need you. Pay up, buddy.
Yep. Yeah, but when you're an elite pass rusher,
you're also closer to when camp opens.
Yeah.
So that's more pressure.
True that, but Julius Peppers still demanded huge money. Do you think it would have been more money?
10% more.
Now? 10% more? Yeah. You really believe that?
Yep.
He's mocking you, Andy.
No, I'm not mocking you, but I think the price on when there's limited commodities on the free agent market could drive the price up after the draft because teams could feel cornered that they have no other options. I have to have somebody, and you could always just fill in. You could sign a Jag for cheap.
Here's where I'll counter: if the need is that great, okay, for a team on any particular position, I don't think that they're counting on that guy that they just drafted to in year one fill the need immediately. I don't think teams opt.
I think a lot of teams draft guys that play.
That I disagree with you. I think that it's not a guarantee. Like Anthony said, you're not guaranteed to get one in the draft. But if you need a tackle, and the only tackle that you have a chance to get in free agency that you like is demanding $12 million, and you're going to say, screw that. I'll draft one for a third of that, and I'll play him right away. And it won't be that much of a difference in play.
Or even I'll draft one, and I'll sign a veteran who's just an $800,000 guy, and I have two that hopefully one will work. But I think there's more pieces to play with there than if you miss him in the draft.
But if you don't get that starting caliber rookie tackle in the draft, now I have to fork over that $12 million. And Andy's point is, he may be in a position now to say, well, you could have had me at 12 in March. Now it's going to cost you 14.
I think it could push the price.
Now, what do you guys prefer? A personal standpoint, what do you prefer? What do you prefer to write about? Do you feel like there's more to write about? Because the draft might be earlier. You could talk about that. And then, boom, you have the free agency. And then you have training camp. What's better?
I don't know. I kind of like...
I liked it the way it was. I like free agency and then the draft. And then you have a little bit of downtime during the summer.
I don't like
the job. You get to June and you get geared up for training camp.
Plus, you've started to formulate your team.
You
know the free agents already in March. Then you get the draft class. You get a chance to get a sneak peek at them at minicamp.
And you have your OTAs and all that stuff.
Now
with
you
kind of
know what the team's coming together as.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. But the way I look at it is that what if a team has a proven veteran, but maybe they're a little bit too much money. And obviously they'd have to work it out, whether it's a cap hit or not. But let's say it's
towards the positive of the team, as in it's not going to be a cap hit. But like, let's say like a certain rookie falls into their lap in the draft, and all of a sudden that player is expendable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there could be some of that. If you draft a guy, you draft a tackle, okay, Matt Light, you're expendable. When he was heading into his last year, now I can cut him.
But could, you know, for the same reasons that the price could go up on these free agents, could the price go down because of the draft? The team that you thought really needed you, now they don't need you anymore.
Right,
you know?
Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that could happen.
So yeah, that's how I kind of look at it. I'm trying to look at it from that angle. I don't know, it's different. It's a different landscape to pay attention to. It's nice, yeah. And I'll let you go, guys. I don't want you going over the clock.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. Later.
Tell your fiance we said hello. She looks good.
Paul's back. You finished early.
He always does.
What?
What? Fred has been the guy today with the inappropriate comments all day.
No question.
No, I think you're back quick.
Anthony was talking, and Fred goes, "I have gas." Just in the middle of nowhere.
I was ushered out quickly. I tried to get him to come down to join us here.
Yeah,
and I believe that he was willing to do so, but they didn't want him to do that.
Is that right? Now, did you get to ask any questions?
I did.
Okay.
It was quick.
Who they drafted?
Robert Quinn. No.
Nice! Woohoo!
Quinn.
I asked him some specifics. First of all, Fred, I did say, Fred Kirsch is my boss. He's the one who asked you if you belonged in the press box. And he started laughing. And he said, yeah, no. He goes, I said, no, seriously, he's a very nice guy. He goes, oh, no. He goes, oh, tell him. I don't have an ego. It didn't bother me at all. He goes, we're holed up. We're on the road. He never sees us.
It bothered me more than it bothered him.
And that's what I said. I said, Fred really felt bad about it. That was not good. But he got a big kick out of it.
Good.
I asked him.
So you broke the ice.
Yeah. The specifics of what I asked him, Andy.
Not the first time in his life at that weight.
He's not even paying attention.
He's really
to
not.
The
his hands are on his hips.
The edge guys.
I don't even think he's listening anymore.
No. Wow. You guys don't even want to know what he said.
Okay, the edge guys.
while I agree that it was nothing earth-shattering and, you know.
He is the director of college scouting. It is a week before the draft.
I asked him specifically about the edge guys, and I sort of piggybacked on what Bill had talked about on Sirius Radio about how this draft will be identified with how teams evaluate those front seven guys that are making transitions. And he said, not just the edge guys, not just the outside linebacker defensive ends, but the defensive ends that, you know, we project as nose tackles. Can they do that? Can, which ones do we think can play the five technique at end and whatnot? And I asked him, I said, we know that Bill has used, you know, from the physical, the measurables, 6'4" guys running 4.6-ish 40s can play outside linebacker. But what do you look for out of a characteristic from a guy who, when you haven't seen him in coverage and you haven't seen him necessarily set the edge against the run, how can you do that? He goes, well, what you have to do is you see a lot of college teams use the zone blitzing, doing zone blitzing now, and you have to take those plays
and extrapolate,
and you have to really extrapolate from there and identify the physical characteristics that guy has that tells you maybe he can do those things in ours. Because there's no real sense in drafting a guy if you don't know if he can do that, because then it's just that whole, you know, square peg in a round hole. And it's probably similar to the Brian Billick thing that we said about Cam, that he mentioned about Cam Newton has only made 30 NFL throws. Those 30 plays better be pretty impressive.
Right.
You know, because you're probably not getting 2 years worth of film on Robert Quinn that tells you here's him playing outside linebacker. You're not getting the 2 years worth of tape on that. You might only get a handful of plays a season to evaluate. Well, he stood up there and dropped into coverage. He has the legs and the hips to do that, or whatever. So I thought that was kind of interesting when he talked about from that point of view. He said probably that the board right now is about 90% set. There is a process that goes through him and his scouts, and then they go to Nick and then Bill, and they sort of collaborate and all that stuff. I asked him if he sort of gets annoyed when they trade picks, because I know scouts, it's like Christmas Day. And he said, nah, you know, he fell right back into the, you know, whatever's in the best interest of the team thing. So you look at it in that way. But
happy to help the team anyway.
I can. So, I mean.
All right, so that'll be up on Patriots.com later.
Probably tomorrow.
Yeah, in addition to him talking with Bilo.
Yes, Bilo was getting to him right as I left.
Okay.
Which is why I was sort of hurried up. I don't know why they didn't do them first.
First, yeah.
But again, we're, you know, the piece of gum on the bottom of the shoe.
All right. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Another hour?
No.
Why? No.
Because I have things to do.
Oh, you do?
Clean your shirt.
Wait for a couch.
Wait for Bob at your house.
So today is Thursday,
a triple
right?
rim shot.
Look who showed up.
Today's Thursday.
That's correct. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Next week, I know we had a couple emails I didn't get to asking about next week's schedule. Normal schedule on Tuesday, 12 to 2. We won't do a show on Thursday at 12. We'll be on at 6. So
or 8.
Oh, 8 o'clock.
You are absolutely unbelievable.
We'll be on at 8 and go through Thursday, the end of the first round.
A week from tonight is the first round of
we'll
the draft.
See you next Tuesday.
Starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We will be with you throughout the first round, beginning at 8 p.m.
That's part of my now it's stuck in my mind. I will always get it wrong.
Should we promise 8? Because last year we started at least 15 minutes late while you were swearing and things weren't working.
No, we're going to promise 8. We're going to start at 8.
We didn't start 15 minutes late.
We were broadcast 15 minutes
correct.
Late.
No one could hear us.
We're taking calls, Paul. Do you know that? 5 lines available in the press box.
Yes. Can you imagine what that's going to be like?
I don't think there's any chance it's going to happen, so I'm not really worried about it.
It'd be another one of those chances for his head to explode.
Debacle.
All right. We'll
maybe he'll just be banging it off the glass.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week. Patriots.com Radio. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.